It's showtime.
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this 8th day of June, 2022. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where we live on the interweb tube. That's also where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, multimedia, madcap extravaganza that takes place when this program is live, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, all time zones in between, and the Great Globe Round. Yes, this program is live. Of course it is. And, whenever you're listening to the program via the podcast. Hi, I'm Robin. It's Prayer Meeting Wednesday. And we got some serious, serious stuff from the followers of the Prince of Peace. Oh, Lord, yes, we do. But, every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. And that means that we say thank you so very, very much indeed to our 8th day of the month subscribers. By the way, still looking for the stress line phone. I'll find it eventually. It's got to be around here somewhere. I just don't know where it is at the moment. But thank you to Dwayne, thank you to Marsha, thank you, Brendan, thank you, Nancy, thank you to Susan, thank you to David, thank you, David. I hope you're making your way homeward safely and without any incident. Thank you so very much for being partial sponsors of the program. And thank you to Lady B getting us started this evening. That means our fundraising goal is down to $1,030. That's how deep the hole is right now. And that's kind of the difference between this program continuing and this program not quite making it to, this is 22, so not quite making it to 18 years. I really want us to, but we, Well, if you'd like to help out, the PayPal button is over at headon.live, and the help is badly needed. I wish, I don't wish we had corporate sponsors, because that would be the ruination of the candor of this program. Really, it would. We badly need your help. Badly. It is, like I said, Prayer Meeting Wednesday, and of course the little old blue-haired ladies and the little old blue-haired men in the Fellowship Hall kitchen got busy. They've never quit all through the pandemic. They've kept on cooking delicious imaginary meals and getting them out to folks in the community. Today, the little old blue-haired ladies got busy in the Fellowship Hall kitchen and worked up a wonderful, wonderful meal of pan-fried trout and brown butter and lemon brown butter and mashed potatoes and fried green tomatoes. Oh, my goodness. It was some kind of good. Randy Radar, the reason we can't find the stress line phone is it went to the horn in with us. And it's probably, well, I looked in the bags last night, and it doesn't seem to be there. And we looked in the car, and, well, it'll show up at some point in time. It's not like anybody else can use it. No, not at all. So we'll just see where it goes. By the way, in the chat room for the Cathedral of Common Sense, early arrivers Anatole and Squeaky, welcome. New Jersey Nick was there for a little bit. Maybe we'll be back. I don't know. Where to begin? I mean, I could do the prayer meeting Wednesday stuff. And thank you, Khalil, for the heads up. I've that's at the top of the prayer meeting Wednesday stuff. But there are other things as well to get to first. For instance, this. And I found this somewhat. Humorous. Kind of. With the stress line phone, Jeremy in Vermont says, I like to help people find things, Robin, and I will help by saying, it's got to be somewhere. Well, that means that another member of the Horn Family Community Congregation will inevitably email in a moment saying, Robin, it'll be the last place you look. I know. And that's absolutely true. But there was a hearing on gun violence in America today in the House of Representatives. And it was I think even the word heartbreaking is too weak. Son of a gun, where was it, honey?
Down underneath your seat.
She found the stress line phone. You angel, you?
Yeah, I hear you.
I see your you. You may try to make them disappear, but I see your wings. Next on NBC, wings. So let's get the stress line phone plugged up, right quick. And I imagine it's probably deader than Pharaoh's cat. It is. It's deader than Pharaoh's cat right now. But it'll charge up in short order. Lee, as it turned out, Sam the studio serpent hadn't seen it either, because Sam the studio serpent doesn't get out to the sedan. See what I mean? Yeah. I can, too, can play this game. Yes. Hang in there, Chica. I think I got you. Scary Jerry says, there's a tropical tsunami headed your way. Just had a massive eureka moment. So much content. We'll call in soon. Phone is in your vehicle under a seat. How did you know? Did you send that after you heard Annette say it was under your seat? Wait a minute. 508? I don't think you did. The phone is in your vehicle under a seat. You may need your own show. That whole, that whole paranormal mind reading kind of thing. There's still a market for that. I'm thinking of something. It's a word that begins with the letter A. No, not A. Begins with B. No, maybe it's C. I mean, at least think about it, Scary Jerry. But no, there was a hearing today, a heartbreaking hearing in the House of Representatives, and if you had any kind of a heart at all, you couldn't have watched it with. shedding a tear or lots of them. Yes. Okay, Randy Radar says, tonight, touched by a stress line, and tune in later for The Little House on the Prairie Burns to the Ground. Okay, that's an early cowbell for Randy Radar. But, well, let's start, before we go to the House hearings, start with something else. The news went around earlier today that a man from California had been arrested in the general vicinity of the neighborhood of the home of Brett Kavanaugh. Over in Maryland, which of course does have some reasonably sane firearms laws. He was the guy with a gun, and he was reportedly pissed off because of the leaked opinion gutting, basically overturning Roe v. Wade. And he was also furious over the slaughter of fourth graders in Uvalde, Texas. The DOJ identified 26-year-old Nicholas Roski of Simi Valley. And he was wearing black clothes. He was carrying a backpack. He was getting out of a cab in front of Brett Kavanaugh's house. Let's remember, this is, of course, Brett Kavanaugh's house, the house that no one really knows who paid for it. Some mysterious benefactor who took care of his baseball debts and his home mortgage and some credit card debt. Because, you know, that just happens in America. You're sweating the bills, and the next thing you know, there's just somebody's just made all your hundreds of thousands of maybe millions of dollars of debt just disappear. And, well, you know, if you're a Supreme Court justice or a nominee, who cares? I mean, it's none of anybody's business. So, anyway, young Nicholas Roski, age 26, of Simi Valley, had a Glock 17 pistol, he had two magazines, he had some pepper spray, some zip ties, a hammer, a screwdriver, a nail punch, a crowbar, a pistol light, and duct tape in his backpack. It appears that Nicholas Roski was probably not playing with the... Well, he not so much playing with... Not so much that he wasn't playing with the full deck, it's just I think he was dealing with both jokers in the pack, too. Because, among other things, he called Montgomery County, Maryland Emergency Communications and said he wanted to kill him a Supreme Court justice. According to the FBI, affidavit for the warrant, he said, Roski also told the call taker he came from California to kill a specific United States Supreme Court justice. Well, this all went down about 10 minutes till 2 this morning. Further into the affidavit, it says that Roski indicated that he believed the justice that he intended to kill would side with Second Amendment decisions that would loosen gun control laws. Roski stated that he'd been thinking about how to give his life a purpose and decided he would kill the Supreme Court justice after finding the justice's Montgomery County address on the internet. Attempted murder of a Supreme Court justice carries a max of 20 years, by the way. He was brought before Judge Timothy Sullivan this afternoon, and he said he thought he had a reasonable understanding of the charge. But he also said he wasn't thinking clearly, and he was on medication that had been prescribed for him by a physician. Court asked him if he was prepared to continue, and he said, I got a reasonable enough understanding. And he said he'd be happy to just remain in jail until he could have a preliminary hearing. That's set for June 22nd. But here's the thing. There are people certainly no more behaviorally well-oriented than Nicholas Roski, and I can see him just about any time I want to go to the Wally World or the Kroger or the Food Lion or the Wiggling Pig or my Walgreens, just about anywhere I want to go in civil society here in West Virginia, walking around packing heat and strapping. And in way too many states in this union, just wearing black and walking around in a neighborhood is no reason to arrest somebody. But, you know, Brett Kavanaugh is special. He's a Supreme Court justice. So he has more right to life, possibly even than a precious little fetus. Now, this goes hand in hand, and this will enhance, as a matter of fact, the fact that a trial court judge was gunned down in Wisconsin last week. The guy had been a former public defender. He was pretty much, I don't know what his political registration was, but the fact that he'd been a public defender kind of speaks to the fact that maybe he wasn't super duper pro law enforcement. Back in May, ABC News got their hands on a warning that the National Capital Threat Intelligence Consortium had found at least 25 violent threats on social media, referred to partner agencies for further investigation. Some of these threats, the bulletin said, discussed burning down or storming the U.S. Supreme Court and murdering justices and their clerks, members of Congress, and lawful demonstrators. Nothing there to suggest which way most of these violent maniacs leaned. Merrick Garland, man of action, immediately jumped out and said, "This kind of behavior is obviously behavior we will not tolerate. We will do everything we can to prevent them and to hold people who do them accountable." Hey, Merrick, what say you do the same kind of thing? Don't want to put too fine a point on it, but what say you do the same kind of thing with, I don't know, Donald Trump, hold him accountable. And that new and different kind of Republican, Ben Sasse of Nebraska, said, "Political violence is un-American. President Biden needs to personally and forcefully condemn violence and threats against Supreme Court justices." You go first, Ben Sasse. Condemn the slaughter of 19 fourth graders. Oh, I know, you've already done that, but how about condemning the weapons that made that it made that all possible? You see, the dude there in Brett Kavanaugh's neighborhood was carrying a Glock 17 that holds 17 rounds of probably 9mm ammunition. It has nowhere near the power of, say, an AR-15, but it is sufficient to kill people. He had two magazines. And I'm sure he was able to purchase the weapon entirely lawfully. But in other parts of this country, you got people walking around with AR-15s just because they carry it like their little whoobie, and it's their security blankie. Because they're so scared and so delicate and so dainty. The Republican governor of Maryland, Larry Hogan, said, I call on leaders in both parties in Washington to strongly condemn these actions in no uncertain terms. It is vital to our constitutional system that the justices be able to carry out their duties without fear of violence against them and their families. Meanwhile, of course, Larry Hogan said nothing about, it being vital to our country that fourth graders get to become fifth graders and not be turned into little piles of human ceviche. Corinne Jean-Pierre, White House press secretary, said that the president condemns this individual in the strongest possible terms. As the president has consistently made clear, public officials, including judges, must be able to do their jobs without concern for their personal safety or that of their families. How about every parent of every school-age child in the United States of America, huh? I mean, frankly, I care a lot more about America's children than I do some right-wing piece of shit occupying a seat on the Supreme Court that he never should have been in the first place. Not that I want anything bad to happen to him. I hope he lives a long and thoughtful life in which he gets to contemplate exactly how much wickedness and how much evil he has perpetrated by using the law as a cudgel against those of us who are Americans who don't share his particularly blighted and bizarre religious views. But, you know, that's me. But like I said, it's prayer meeting Wednesday, and there's equality, and then there's equality. Oh yes. Because, you see, people like Brett Kavanaugh and Ann's boy Neil and The Handmaid and Clarence Pubes on the Coke Can Slappy Thomas and Sammy Bad Breath, old Balls and Strikes John Roberts, too, for that matter, they're deeply, deeply concerned with issues pertaining to religious liberty. Sit, Liberty. Woo! In America, because our First Amendment guarantees of religious liberty. They're the bedrock and cornerstone foundation of everything it means to be an American in America. The greatest country in the history of the world on earth now, today, forever in the universe under God. And so we must cherish our religious liberties. Woo! And we must uphold them for the freedoms that they guarantee, so that every corporation in America, what claims it has a deeply held religious conviction about having to pay for slut medicine for the women folk, the vagina people, won't have to do it because of how much they love the Lord. Oh, I make myself sick when I talk like that. And it's kind of nauseatingly hot back here, too. We'll get through, though. We'll get through. And so, under the guise of religious liberty, these black-robed judicial punks and thugs and cut purses and foot pads and highwaymen. These maniacs from the Federalist Society. Well, let's just check in on what free speech and religious liberty sounds like in Merca in 2022. Let's check in, that is to say, with Dylan Oz. Dylan Oz is a gospel sharp in Fort Worth, Texas. He preaches at an outfit called Steadfast Church. Now, would you care to buy another? Would you care to buy a vowel there, Dylan? They spell steadfast as S-T-E-D-F-A-S-T. I think it's S-T-E-A-D-F-A, if you're talking about the word steadfast, as in be steadfast in your faith or whatever. Oh, well, you know, this is the same state that gave us people standing beside each other with individual letters spelling out the word SECD instead of secede. Yeah. Stephen, New York, noting, old Ben Sassy, condemn political violence? You mean like an insurrection on the seat of government? Well, yeah, like that. Exactly like that. No, surprisingly it wasn't. Steve said, under the seat, the stress line was under the seat. My guess was going to be it was in the freezer. Well, that was where we were going to look next. And going back to AR-15s, Randy Radar says, I'm uninformed. Isn't an AR-15 a bit too powerful to use as a home defense weapon? Way too powerful. Hell, a 9mm pistol's too powerful for a home defense weapon. And what we mean by saying that is that the rounds can easily penetrate multiple walls and cause mayhem. Elsewhere, as we found out when the cops busted down the door of the apartment where young Breonna Taylor was sleeping a couple of springs back, and they came in blazing, and of course one or more of the bullets of I think a guy named Brett Hankins, was it? Penetrated the walls of the next door neighbor, and he was charged with a negligent or dangerous discharge of his freedom protected blue steel penis, police penis extension. Of course, the jury let him walk, just like the DA and the Attorney General of Kentucky stand. Let those cops walk after they slaughtered Breonna Taylor in her sleep. Good God, if they'd been shooting AR-15s, heavenly days, they probably wouldn't have been able to identify the body of Breonna Taylor. There was testimony about that today in Washington, D.C. Horrifying testimony. A local pediatrician talked about what it was like. Oh, God, but we'll get there. But no, let's go back to the Right Reverend Dylan Oz of Steadfast Church in Fort Worth, Texas. He was enjoying him some First Amendment freedom. And I've heard this clip too many times today. And as such, let me offer up a warning, a trigger warning. No pun intended. This is some terrifying shit. And he means every word he says. And he's not going to get a visit from the Secret Service. And the U.S. Marshals are not going to take him in. And there won't be an affidavit for an arrest warrant by an FBI special agent in charge for what he said from the pulpit. Because bear in mind, every word that Dylan Oz says is deemed to be protected. Protected speech. Special speech. Untouchable speech. Because it relates intimately to the religious freedom of Dylan Oz and the people who go to his church. Their freedom would be on the line if anything was done about this. Anyway, let me answer Randy Radar's question. Yeah, an AR-15 is a lot too powerful for home defense. Randy said, I think I read that home defense is somehow a justification for owning one, but any gun. Home defense would be in the minds of the right wing in America, a justification for owning a suitcase nuke, if they could only get one. Randy says, can you load it with projectiles that when shot won't go through walls? No. I've been trying to ask this online, but I haven't received any response yet. Well, here's your response. No, you can't. Frankly, if you want a home defense weapon, the best thing you can use is a 410, a 410 shotgun, nothing bigger than a 12 gauge, and load it with, like 4-shot shells. Because most home invasion shootings that involves actual self-defense, and God knows there aren't very many of them, relatively speaking, take place in a space of less than 3 feet, and if you shoot somebody with a 410 or a 12 gauge round with 4-shot, it's going to go in like a baseball, and it's going to come out the back like a basketball, and there's not going to be much left to right. But those little BBs individually are not likely to kill any innocent bystanders like a room or two rooms away. So I hope that answers your question, Randy. I said there was a trigger warning. I've waited a long time. If you don't want to hear this, mute it now. It's about 37 seconds long. We may play it several times just to make sure that we get this in, make sure everybody understands this. And for anybody, I just want to sort of inoculate against this. For anybody who says, well, you know, he's an outlier. I mean, he's just a radical extreme. No, honey, this is mainstream Christian Protestant evangelicalism. Just because the other ones don't say it out loud doesn't mean they're not thinking it. Can you tell I'm trying to resist playing this? Takes a toll. Takes a toll. So I apologize in advance, but this program does at least occasionally vaguely resemble journalism. And this is fact, and this is fact reporting. So here we go.
What does God say is the answer, is the solution for the homosexual in 2022, here in the New Testament, here in the book of Romans, that they are worthy of death? These people should be put to death. Every single homosexual in our country should be charged with the crime, the abomination of homosexuality that they have. They should be convicted in a lawful trial. They should be sentenced with death. They should be lined up against the wall and shot in the back of the head. That's what God teaches. That's what the Bible says. If you don't like it, you don't like God's word, because that is what God says. What does God say is the answer is the...
Well, no. God doesn't say anybody should be lined up against a wall and shot in the back of the head because there's no reference to firearms in the Old or New Testament. And abomination is a term of art, as it were. But for me to deconstruct this violent, hate-filled filth is really a waste of time and an exercise in futility. Because what's really important in what's being said here is the fact that he gets to say it. I don't know if our buddy Robert in Oz is out there, but or anybody else in our up over down under contingent. Could this guy say that in Australia? I can't imagine that this would be okay in Japan. I know we've got no small number of Canoodlians. Can you say this in Canada? Can you say it in the UK? Well, Turf Island, probably. But how about France? How about Spain? How about Portugal? How about Italy? How about Switzerland? How about... Oh, I don't know. Belgium or Luxembourg or... Denmark or Norway or Finland or Sweden. You can probably say this in Hungary. Guessing you can't say this in Germany. How about Austria? I'm sure that this is routinely preached in Iran with a slightly different accent. Yeah. I'm sure they preach it in Riyadh and perhaps Mecca. Probably okay to preach in Pakistan. Not so sure about the benevolent dictatorships of, say, Qatar, UAE. I think it's probably a case of it depends in India. But the fact of the matter is, we have this weird fetish that says that you have to let the Dylan Ozzeses call for the assassination, the state-sanctioned murder of every member of the LGBTQ community. If everybody else's speech is going to be free too. I sincerely do not believe that to be true. And how is this guy a tax-exempt organization? And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah. Abomination, says Lee in New York. Oh, like shellfish? Yeah, because shellfish is an abomination, too. I mean, this is what happens when you take the advice of Bronze Age people who didn't understand wheelbarrows. Or rain. Or the fact that maybe women were not suitable chattel in commerce for exchange, for swapping in exchange for cattle and goats and sheep and chickens. But no pigs. No. And did you hear the grunting of the validating, affirming grunting of the assembled parishioners? It's hard to listen to this and not think that it's some sort of a bit. That it was made up somehow.
What does God say is the answer, is the solution for the homosexual in 2022 here in the New Testament?
Well, I mean, according to that book, one must love one's neighbor as oneself. What, unless they're gay? Or trans? If you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it also unto me? Asterisk, unless gay or trans? I mean, I'm pretty sure it didn't work that way. Ron in Raleigh says, wait a dad blame minute. Aren't these the folks that get their underoos in a bunch about Sharia law? Could you tell me how this bloodthirsty shit is one whit different from the extremes of those laws? Well, it ain't. I've said for years that it's a good thing that the two fundamentalisms remain in a constant state of hatred for one another, because if they ever sit down and start comparing notes, they're going to realize that they're almost the same. And then we're really fucked. Yeah, it's the same one. And given a half a chance, they'd probably argue that every member of the LGBTQ community is a secret Muslim or something. There's no actual sorting out any reason or logic to this, because there is no reason or logic within 5,000 statute miles of the zip code from which this fucker is preaching.
Here in the book of Romans, that they are worthy of death. These people should be put to death. Every single homosexual in our country should be charged with the crime, the abomination of homosexuality that they have. They should be convicted in a lawful trial.
They should be convicted in a lawful trial. Well, but the problem is, there's no way to have a lawful trial under the Constitution of the United States for the non-crime of being LGBTQ. And, you know, they cover their bases just to be sure. I don't know if I'm gay or straight. Right now, I'm just sort of leaving the door open to everything. But I'm sure they'd have a bullet for me, you know, just in case. Just, you know, covering their bases. Then again, used to be a guy. If I have sex with a guy, they don't respect my gender anyway. And so that wouldn't be, that'd still be gay. I mean, we heard from Nick Fuentes. That dude said that a guy having sex with women is gay. But then again, you know, this guy kind of has the look of somebody. Look, while he was preaching, if somebody could have sent some ninjas into his house, I'm sure dude's got an old foot locker or a something with a padlock on it that's got enough panties in it to clothe an entire women's domestic violence shelter. Or, you know, maybe some magazines with color glossy photos of really hot, oily, sweaty men with erect appendages and other men doing things. You get the idea. The late great prophet Bart Kopp, peace be upon him, would take one look at this guy and say, yeah, he's gonna get busted with a man in his mouth. Which is not to say that there's anything wrong with that. Live in love, y'all. It's the hypocrisy. It's like our old friend Burns sang in that song from a while back that has a whole new relevance. Alabama Jesus. I saw that it was Burns' birthday the other day. Don't even know if he listens anymore. But he sent me this song years and years and years ago and said I could play it anytime I wanted to. You know what? I want to. Right now.
Alabama Jesus don't come from Galilee. Alabama Jesus, he looks like General Lee. He ain't got no hook nose, he damn sure ain't Hebrew. If you ain't from around here, honey, he won't do dick for you. Alabama Jesus likes his niggers on the run. Alabama Jesus, run off those Indians. Yes, them folks cleared the land, all part of Jesus' plan. Get that money in the hand of the Alabama clan. Well, he said, keep all you have and screw the poor. Take that money that you're making and make it make some more. There'll be a church on every corner till the number is obscene. I love those Bama biddies. They're so pious and so mean. Alabama Jesus, it's about your pedigree. Alabama Jesus, showed us that way to me. The proud begat the ignorant, and they've all they're proud to be. They pick for brains, but they love their Lord, and they love their family tree. Alabama Jesus, well, he prays at the ball game. Alabama Jesus, was making me into shame. He don't cotton to evolution, high IQs or humanist. He likes them big and beefy, dull-eyed and questionless. Well, if your preacher gets too liberal talking about that humankind, just drag him out the pulpit, toss him out on his behind. Don't back those local charities like the cursed liberals do. Just judge and moralize and serve your time down in the pew. Keep those tithes a coming upwards over 10%. When you make good money, that's a lot of Bible sense. Serving in the third world, you'll never see or know. Denounce the parasites cross town sleeping on Skid Row. And those people on Throw Up Kitties, when they get hungry, they can pray to Alabama Jesus 10,000 miles away. Away, away, away. White folks thank their Jesus for white supremacy. The black folks ask their Jesus to make them bourgeoisie. But Jesus knows the danger of a real democracy. So he privatized the education, which serves to bring back segregation. Now he Ten Commandments in a courtroom and was schooled about creation. In 4004 B.C., the first white man ate some fruit from the tree. And then he moved to Northern Europe to denounce the papacy. Although he likes the Pope's ideas concerning pregnancy. Come to Alabama. Come to Alabama. Say, man. Say, man. Say, man. It ain't the heat. It ain't the heat.
Sing it.
It ain't the heat. It's our stupidity.
Admit it, your toes were tapping. They were. Burns Lawler, Alabama Jesus. This is one of the only places you're going to hear that unless you're listening to Burns. Yes, indeed. And the neat thing is, it's Alabama Jesus, but you can change that to Texas Jesus or Mississippi Jesus or Missouri Jesus or Louisiana Jesus. Tennessee Jesus, Oklahoma Jesus, Arizona Jesus, and it doesn't change the song a lick. No, it doesn't. What's that, Shorty in L.A. says, Robin, what page in the Bible is all that crap on that preacher's talking? Oh, sorry, I forgot. Silly me. It's in the Book of Bullets. Turn now to automatic rifles. Chapter 6, verse 9. Yeah. And there's always somebody willing to buy in on this. And, of course, this is Texas, so this guy knows what he's doing, and he knows that he's got the lace skirts of the First Amendment and God to hide behind. So if one of his flock decides to get his AR-15 and, oh, I don't know, light up a pride celebration, I mean, there's a reason he's preaching this filth in Pride Month. Well, he has absolutely nothing to worry about. And there will be no reprisals. Jesus Christ, a guy upset about the end of Roe v. Wade and the slaughter at Uvalde. I guess he was one of ours. Needs a good talking to. At the beginning of the program, we talked about the fact that he went to Montgomery County, Maryland. Had everything you needed to do some wickedness and mayhem. And then he called 911 and said, and told him what he was going to do, and the cops got right there because, you know, the cops can get right there when it's Brett Kavanaugh. Not so much when it's a bunch of fourth graders. No, not so much. Not so much. Lady B says, my grandma always said never wish ill on nobody. But Brett Kavanaugh needs to sweat. And he needs to know what it feels like to always have to look over his shoulder. He has some of the best protection a Supreme Court justice can have. He'll eat dinner every night because he doesn't have to choose between that and paying rent. Should he test positive for COVID, he'll immediately be treated with remdesivir rather than be sent home to wait for symptoms. His wife probably can't get pregnant anymore, and any mistresses he has will always have access to birth control and abortion services because he isn't a Christian. He's a hypocrite. A wolf in what he thinks is a pious sheep's clothing. Someone threatened his life. Well, you know, kinda, sorta. Compare that to the moms and dads, the families, the friends, and the communities who are suffering from all the mass shootings courtesy of his evil and wretched political party. It's all about money and power to him. He sold his soul for it. The devil will get his due. So, yeah, let him sweat. As far as that preacher goes, I hope he burns in hell. He's not worthy of anyone's grace. He'll be caught with a dead girl or a live boy in his bed. Folks that stupidly evil always have skeletons in their closet. Always. He'll go down. And anyone who believes his shit, who watches him say such evil things, will go down with him. None of us have magic powers, Robin. Although our synchronicity is a bit scary sometimes. But this man deserves a curse. And Brett Kavanaugh needs to be humbled. I don't know the how or the why, but he and Amy COVID Barrett will get their comeuppance. Come on, Horn family, light your candles, draw your circles, smudge your sage, do whatever you do, and wish rain on all these motherfuckers. A storm is brewing. Time for the flooding and the cleansing. And at no point in time did Lady B utter an unkind word in that. That is the measure of a great soul. To say that Brett Kavanaugh needs to sweat, well, maybe he does. But he'll be fine. He'll be fine. And you know what? I'll bet. I think he's got daughters, doesn't he? I will bet you that Brett Kavanaugh, and more importantly, Mrs. Brett Kavanaugh, will make sure that the Kavanaugh girls never wind up at any parties where there are any drunk Catholic school, prep school boys there to rape them if they have a couple too many illicit beers, and one is probably enough. No. Mrs. Kavanaugh makes sure that her daughters never get anywhere near anybody like, well, her husband. Because I imagine she knows full well the monster that she married. Speaking of monsters, they, like I said, they had a hearing in the House of Representatives today. It was the House Oversight Committee. And that's where they had the hearing about the shootings in Buffalo and Uvalde. And Lord, am I not just an absolute little fangirl for Katie Porter. Katie Porter got into it with an ironically named individual named Amy Swearer of the Heritage Foundation. Amy Swearer was the witness called by the minority side of the hearing. And Katie Porter wasn't taking any crap from the Heritage Foundation punk.
So that is the case under that bill. The problem is any time that is transferred to anybody else, that now becomes an issue.
Would you please respect the witness? Time belongs to me.
If you don't want to hear an answer to my question, I'm not sure what's being asked.
The gentlelady has reclaimed her time.
So you knew that the bill, you said yes in response to my question, that you knew the bill would allow the gun owner to maintain possession of any semi-automatic assault weapon that was lawfully possessed before the bill becomes law. Ms. Swearer, I respect that we have different opinions on Representative Cicilline's assault weapons law, but we cannot have different facts. We have a duty to debate the merits of proposals. You falsely testified under oath.
Would you like the explanation of why I said that?
No, I will not. I have not yielded, Ms. Swearer.
Suspend.
Madam Chair, if she's going to ask questions, shouldn't she let the witness have time to answer?
The gentleman is not recognized.
You falsely testified under oath.
Madam Chair, point of order. Point of order.
I've been accused of falsely testifying under oath, and I would like to address it.
The gentlewoman has perjured. Is she going to hold to that? Or are you going to allow the witness to respond to that accusation of criminal conduct?
You have not come forward with a significant point of view.
The voice there, the pasty-faced, doughy old Republican white man. That's Andy Biggs. He's one of the biggest maggots in Congress. He's an insurrectionist. And he's desperate to try to protect his foundation, his Heritage Foundation donations. I mean, witness. Well, probably both.
Ms. Porter will continue. I asked you if that bill was correct, if the bill would allow any gun owner to maintain possession, and you said yes, yet you testified that the bill would allow people to become felons overnight. Earlier today, you testified that you hoped that this was the last time you testified before Congress. For the sake of our nation and the integrity of this Congress,
I said
I
Congress,
do too.
After a mass shooting, trying to figure out how to solve a problem that we are all heavily invested in solving.
Ms. Swearer,
that is
I have not
Chair, point of order,
asked
point of
a question.
Order. How dare you?
Reclaiming my time, how dare you misstate the law?
How dare you
at
ask
legislation.
Questions that you do not even want an answer to?
Ms. Swearer, I'm moving on. I'm a lifelong consumer protection advocate. From 2015 to 2020, there were at least 2,070 unintentional shootings by children. 765 of those children died.
Do not fuck with Katie Porter. She is infinitely more intelligent than the, I don't know, what was her name? Annabelle Swearer or whatever. Yeah. And Ms. Swearer's faux outrage really didn't play. But I'm sure that this evening, I'm sure all over, Fox News TV, Radio Rwanda, and various other right-wing sewers, she is being nailed up to the cross as a martyr to Second Amendment freedoms. It was a nasty bit of work, this hearing. Yeah. And the most horrifying parts were the testimony of the children, the testimony of the doctor who saw the children in pieces, the word he described for what an AR-15 round does to a little child was pulverized their bodies. The word decapitated also found its way into the discussion. And for anybody who watched it, it was horrifying. Because it was so goddamned real. And there is not a Republican in the entire United States of America who is willing to put children before fucking AR-15s, period. Not one. I know we're all just terribly, terribly enamored, for instance, of Liz Cheney. The House is putting forward a bill that it does just about everything President Biden asked for in regard to some sort of action on firearms, and particularly AR-15s. Check the vote totals. I would be happy to be wrong if Liz Cheney actually voted for the legislation, but my money is she won't, or didn't. I'm not sure if the vote's been taken yet. And so the action taken by the House under the auspices and leadership of Nancy Pelosi will go to the Senate and die in a pool of blood on Mitch McConnell's desk. You know, on the day that he finally goes to his long home, I think it would be appropriate to dig a hole maybe 1,000 feet deep . Fill it halfway up with human blood then lower in the coffin of Mitch McConnell, and then fill it the rest of the way up with blood and dust. The same thing that has covered his desk every time the Congress has tried to do something, anything, about the abattoir that America has become. I mean, the level of stupidity when it came time for representing Pat Fallon, to have a little time during the hearing today. He's a pig-licking from Texas. Well, he stood up for the firearms. The hell with them fourth graders in his own state. Because representing Pat Fallon says he knows what the real cause of the shooting in Uvalde was. Hell yes.
The truth is that guns have always been readily available in this country. But mass shootings, and in particularly mass shootings of schools, were non-existent, or at least extremely rare, until they became a grisly recent phenomenon. So what's changed in the last 50 years? There's been a noticeable breakdown of the family, there's been an erosion of faith, and there's been a seismic drop in social interactions, in large measure, due to the overuse of these dang smartphones and the proliferation
of smartphones,
probably better described as anti-social media. Senseless mass shootings are not committed by well-adjusted, successful, socially polished people.
Mm-hmm.
They're committed by disturbed, yep. Unstable loners with mental disease.
By the end of the year, so we started not to...
Madam Chair, are you...
Jesus, these dang smartphones! Weren't for these dang smartphones and the anti-social media, you know, you'd think that there was never a mass shooting. You'd think that that one dude didn't climb the bell tower at the University of Texas at Austin back in the 60s and use a high-powered rifle to start taking out people. You'd think that didn't happen. I remember back in the heady days of New Wave in the 80s, I remember Bob Geldof led a band called the Boomtown Rats. And they had a song called I Don't Like Mondays. About a kid who wasted some classmates, and when they asked why, the response came, I don't like Mondays. Curiously, that was before smartphones or... dang smartphones or anti-social media. Representing Fallon was, of course, reading from a script. And he is as useless in the Congress of the United States as a screen door on a nuclear submarine. The whole hearing was like that. By the way, subject line canceled. Ron and Raleigh says a proposed drag queen story hour in Apex, North Carolina was canceled because the organizers started to receive violent, threatening emails, better safe than sorry, no doubt from Christians like Mark Robinson. I saw a video earlier today of some drag queens being harassed in, of course, Texas. You're a groomer! You're a pedophile. No. You're looking for the groomers and the pedophiles, so look in the registry of your local county clerk for your registered Republicans, and you'll find one there. You'll probably find, you know, several. We in New York caught the temporal anomaly there. 50 years of smartphones. Yeah, I know. We catch it. The Republicans don't. So we are into the second hour of the program. We are $1,030 in the hole, and it's going to have some disastrous consequences in very short order if we don't do something about it. And I don't use the word disastrous loosely. So if we could get something going, it would be freaking great. Let's see. Let's run over to the Skype line. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, baby cakes.
Hey, Tracy, how are you, dear?
Oh, well, let's see. I'm still alive. That part. Have I spoken to you guys since I graduated? Have I been on the
show? Yeah. Yeah, you were talking on Friday on the front porch.
Okay. But that was okay. I don't remember anything. But anyway, first things first, congratulations on what seems to be a resounding success on your very first, on your inaugural Horn-In.
Thank you.
I've heard, you know, wonderful things. I'm hoping that this is just a taste of things to come. We have to make the next one bigger and better. And I know this is those kind of things, the fundraising things and stuff like that. And I'm sorry that I missed it, but with everything that was going on, there was just no way I could have made it and stayed sane.
Well, God, if you'd tried to fly out here, given the experiences of Ralph's and Susie and Tara with the airlines, if you'd tried to fly out here, you may have wound up in Kuala Lumpur.
Yeah, I'm good. So with that said, and seeing that it was a fundraiser and I actually kind of found some extra cash, I'm going to start off fundraising today with, I'm tired. My brain isn't working. Let's welcome baby Lily into the world with a $100 challenge. And if that's met, I will throw in a bonus. I'm not going to say how much it will be, but if that's met, let's see. Hopefully that, I could throw in a little extra something to sweeten the pot. Now, with that said, y'all, Robin pulled off the unimaginable. She did, after having life-saving, life-changing, life-granting surgery in November, running for office and pulling together her inaugural Horn-In, all with very little money. And when she says that there are, with disastrous repercussions, if she does not get the financial help she needs, there will be problems. Now, I am willing, like y'all know, I am getting ready for grad school, and I have it, but I don't have it, but I have enough to help. And I know, y'all, this is the year with midterms. Everybody got their hands out. All these elected people trying to run for office and trying to say, I need help. We need help. This. But these people that are running for office right now, a lot of them got money and got help. Robin don't. Okay. Everything that she does is she is on her own other than us helping her. She is. In no shape, form, or fashion, no matter way to say it, she is a national treasure. Okay? We are blessed beyond measure to have her as a resource. I mean, when I list, she has forgotten more than I will ever remember. As a matter of fact, y'all don't even know how much she helped me over the last couple of year, semesters with papers and whatnot and so forth. As a matter of fact, I have one more paper to do to actually confirm my degree. And yes, guess what? She is going to help me. And guess what the paper's on, y'all? Greek and Roman mythology. This woman knows so much about shit, you know? And it's like the breadth of her knowledge base is unparalleled, unmatched by so many people. It's just mind-boggling. And we get, none of this shit is behind, none of this stuff, rather, is behind a fucking paywall, as well as shit and could be. I was just telling her about, I was listening to a show. I am one of these fortunate people that I can, this, I have, you know, I have subscriptions to SiriusXM and, you know, all sorts of different, I refuse to go and I do not support, you know, I do not pay for paywall for Stephanie Miller or Randy Rhodes or any other progressives. They don't need a dime from me. I do listen to their shows and all that, but I refuse, just on GP, to help pay, give them any more money, because they don't need my money. If I'm going to support progressive voices, I will put my money where my mouth is, and I will support people like Robin, and I will support people like John Bridivo, who do not have multi-million-dollar contracts, who are not on SiriusXM and all these other stations, all these other things, that if you want to hear the good, deep content that they have, you got to pay for it. I refuse to do that. They don't need my money. They don't need our money. Robin and people like John need our money. I cannot emphasize that. I got to do this. I cannot emphasize this enough. Robin and these people keep us and help us. Let's see. They revitalized us. They keep us engaged. They keep us informed. There are things and situations and people that I have not ever heard of, but because of Robin and people like John, I know a whole lot more than I ever. I have learned more from Robin. Guess what? I've been listening to Robin now for over a decade now. I have learned more about government and politics in the last decade from Robin than I have in, let's see, so I'll be 56 next month. So in the past 40 years of my life. And that's saying a lot, because I'm no dummy. Hell, I'm a college graduate now. So, you know, I'm not.
You just had to do that, didn't you? You just had to go there.
I'm melanated and educated. That's part. Okay? So I need, but what I really want to emphasize to my Horn family is the fact that Robin should not have to go through this every month. Okay? Or every day. And, you know, there's, and we know, you know, I'm going to go there since this is prayer meeting Wednesday. There's a Bible verse, and Robin's a better Bible, even though she is loath to walk into a church. But there's a Bible verse that never have I seen the righteous forsaken, nor have I seen my seed go begging for bread. In other words, Robin is righteous in what she's doing. She should not go speak. She should never have to go begging for bread. She should not have to beg for anything. For what she does for this community, for the community at large, for not just, you know, just for being who she is. And listen, and putting up with the people that she has to put. Just for having, she takes the bullet for us. She listens to the garbage and the vile, disgusting crap that the right-wing media puts out. And she listens to it, and she breaks it down, and she brings it to us so we don't have to listen to it. Okay? just that part. She should be getting fucking hazard pay just for that part. Does she, if she had a contract with MSNBC or Sirius XM or something like that, there should be a rider attached to her contract about hazard pay for all the stuff that she has to listen to in order to be prepared for shows for 3 hours, 3 hours, 5 fucking days a week. And like me, like her, I have to, if every day that I'm not in my cab, if my ass is not in this seat working, I don't get paid. And the same thing with Robin. So it's very hard. So when she takes time off of work, away from that microphone, she does not get paid. So we need to make sure we take care of her. We need to make sure these people, like, you know, so we need to start having, you know, those who can, even if it's $5 a month, $10 a month, or what have you, if 10 people start, you know, if she can just be guaranteed, if I don't, I mean, because I don't know how much money she gets on, a, you know, for the subscription, but I have a feeling that if she could know that she was guaranteed at least a couple of grand a month on a regular basis, or maybe $3,000 a month, that would probably take so much pressure off of her and her family, because guess what, y'all? Shit is high. Okay, I sent her a picture about how much, you know what, I'm just thankful. As much as I would love it if she lived out here in California, I'm glad she doesn't right now.
I'd be walking.
Gas is, you, girl, you know, she would be saying these boots are fucking made for walking. Because gas is high as I am black. And I'm pretty goddamn black, y'all. So let me say it, and I'm going to say it one more time. Stop tripping. And like I said, I know things are high, but I'm talking to the people who I know who are listening to this show who have it. I know you're out there. I know what you can do. You know what you can do. And I need you to be consistent. Pretend like your life depends, not your life depended on it, but just out of, just make it a moral obligation. Make it like, you know, again, make it a tithe. Make it something that is just automatically set up. It would be nice if people start, especially those who don't go to church or what have you, but, you know, do something that would make it a significant amount. And pledge that to Robin. And maybe, you know, even if it's not for a whole year, maybe 6 months, I don't know. But we want to keep Robin on the air. This is her job. This is not a damn hobby. It'd be different, like, if it was me and I was doing it, it would be a hobby because I have income. But this is her source of income. This is not a hobby, folks. This is something that, you know, and it's not her, just the source of income. It is her passion. She does this because she loves it. It's like why she ran for office, because I'm like, girl, are you serious? You're doing what? Didn't we just not have a major surgery? But she saw a need and she knew what she needed to do, so she ran for office. She saw, that's why she does this show. She saw a need, and that is why she does this show, because she saw a gaping hole in what we need as far as information and discernment is in this, as far as media is concerned. So if you want to keep somebody like Robin on the air, y'all, you got to loosen up those, open up those purse strings, y'all. And so, like I said, $100, this is going to be my $100 welcome baby Lily into the world, because we want a world where baby Lily grows up, we don't have to have any more conversations about assault rifles in school. But when baby Lily is old enough to go to school, let's pray and hope that there will be no more school shootings. Okay, I'm done with that. So moving on, how you doing?
Well, you just about brought me to tears. Because no, really, you did, because I don't think about myself in those terms. But I think a lot of what you said was true. I think all of what you said was true. And, you know, just a little baby Lily update. She had her first bath today.
Oh.
And I got a picture. And I talked to Ferg, and he said that she cried a little bit when she touched the water. But then she realized that this is nice. And she began to relax into it, and she had a very nice bath. I mean, she's too... Well, I guess, what, at 12:28 she'll be 3 days old? And I can't look at a picture of her without tearing up. And what you said about, and it's not just me or her, it's this whole nation. We have got to stop worrying about things that used to be mundane. You know, being able to send our kids to school without wondering if they'll come home. Or parents having nightmares about what it must be to try to have to rifle through your family file cabinet and find the dental and DNA records so that your baby can be identified. I can't stand that. I'm kind of at a breaking point. And a lot of this, you know, I've had to confront some things. Some realities. In order for me to see her graduate from high school, I'm going to have to live to be near 80. And the odds aren't real good of that happening. So whatever I can do, I got to do now. And I've got to reconsecrate myself to being, you know, when I transitioned, I said I want to be a better person than I was. And I think I've been making progress on that, but I've really got to double down. I've really got to double down now. And just try to make sure that I can be a part of her life as long as is humanly possible. And I know Annette feels the same way, because I want to see her and her big sister grow up and be big and little sister. I want to talk to them. I want to read to them. I want to take them on walks. I want to sing to them badly, of course, but I want to sing to them. And I want to be able to tell them that we did everything possible to keep them safe, and by we I mean all of us, for all of our children. There's an unavoidable political reality to that. That means that we don't, whether we call ourselves liberals, progressives, just plain old garden variety, Democrats, centrists, I care not. But we have got to stop being selfish. We've got to stop. We've got to stop acting like there's something that somehow or another. Because we didn't get a pony, that we're going to let the perfect be the enemy of the good. We got to run Republicans out of government, or at least we've got to make them enough of a minority that they're just not worth hearing from, because they will go out and vote, and they're going to vote over precious fetuses and frankly guns that they value more than fetuses, Tracy. Mm-hmm. While we're sitting here wringing our hands and clutching our pearls and you know, talking about how insufficiently progressive this or that person is, when the sufficiency of the progressivism is not the issue, it is our survival. You know, I ran that clip a little bit ago. We're talking about keeping our kids safe. Hell, I don't feel safe. There's a documentary out by a guy, and it's not really a documentary. It's a shitty little propaganda film. It's filled with just filth. By a guy named Matt Walsh. Talk about taking one for the team. Oh, my Jesus. This thing is called What is a Woman? And what it is a wholesale attack on the trans community. Mostly trans women, non-binaries, mostly trans women. Not so much trans men, because they just sort of ignore trans men. And I mean no disrespect in saying that. But this guy is arguing, and we know what they're saying relative to kids. This guy is now arguing that hormone replacement theory should be illegal for anyone. The medication that keeps me alive should be illegal. That's another way of saying they want me and women like me dead. Dead, Tracy, dead. And then this guy, in Texas comes along and just says straight out, anybody in the LGBTQ community needs to be lined up facing a wall and shot in the back of the head in the name of Jesus.
That includes me.
Yeah, oh yeah, you're going to the party too, hon.
Oh, and plus, remember, I'm black, so.
Yeah, you're going twice.
Does he want so many members
of this community.
Does he want disabled people out, you know, lined up too?
If they're LGBTQ or even suspected of being dead. And there are if there is a market for this guy, and if people can be enticed into attending his sermons, then that means that there is a significant enough statistical percentage of people in this country who agree with him to make it all too likely, and it already happens, that there will be there already is a war against the LGBTQ community. It's been going on for years. You know, there's a reason Marsha P. Johnson was the first first person to pick up the brick at the Stonewall.
Yep.
Because people like her were taking it on the chin on the daily. And we have internalized, and I'm not saying it was wrong to do so, but we have internalized ideas of nonviolence to the point that we are willing to, I guess we're just willing to be led like sheep to the slaughter. And I'm not. No, hell no.
Nope.
And at the very least, we have got to make clear what they have planned. And if our straight or our cis allies do not come together and join with us, at some point in time, there's going to be a reason for them to be next. Okay? When they came for the labor unionists, you know that thing.
Yep. Speaking of, so remember I texted you on Saturday. You know how you said you went off fangirl on Katie Porter? Because I think she should have been our attorney general. I'm just saying. Because she a bad bitch. You know. And she my cousin. You know.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, that's her. Right. She your cousin.
She my cousin. That's her and Billy Porter.
Yeah, that's cousin Katie. Cousin Billy.
That's cousin Katie and cousin Billy.
And then Porter's got around.
Because, like I said, it's not a lot of folks' last name Porter. Porter is not a common last name. So I'll probably, if I did a part fair, not far enough, but a fair enough back search, we might be related. A couple of people removed and all that, but I'll probably...
Yeah, probably going to have to print up some invites to the cookout.
Uh-huh, because Katie's definitely invited to the cookout. But anyway, so I had my own fact. I told you I had my own fangirl moment, girl. So it was kind of squashed, but let me tell you what happened. So what had happened was I was at the Best Buy.
I was down to the, yeah, translated into hillbilly, I was down to the Best Buy.
Yes, what had happened was I was down at the Best Buy, you know, and I don't know why I get sucked into these earnest white people who be trying to tell me, you know, how woke they are. And I'm like, Lord, save me from woke white people. And tried, you know, right up there with I'm 0.3, you know, somebody in the chat the other day. I posted a story about one of the Ivies, how they have found remains of enslaved and indigenous bodies. And one of the members wrote in all honesty, I did an ancestry.com and I found out that I'm 0.3%, you know, African, you know, something. And I took a deep breath and I said, well, at least that 0.3% don't have to worry about traffic stops.
Yeah, and the fact of the matter is, I mean, we're all, at some point, we're all 100% African when you get right down to it.
That part, we get right down to it, but I didn't want to go into, you know, an anthropology lesson and all that sort of stuff. But anyway, so this is why Kid Guy was going on and on about, you know, all this stuff about enslavement. Then he's like, oh, my God, there's Maxine Waters. And I'm like, oh, I got you to go. And I ran over. And so there she, now, first of all, I've never, in all these years, I have never, ever, 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 ever seen Maxine Waters in person. I've only seen her on television.
Right.
I've only either seen her on television or
Same.
Heard her on the radio. I've never seen her in person. First of all, she itty bitty. Itty-bitty person.
Oh, is she one of those dynamite in a small package people?
Man. Okay, you know, I am not a tall person. I'm 5'6". Okay, she's shorter than me. I mean, she climbed up to my chest. I'm like, oh, wow. I was towering over her. Okay, that just shows you, you know, how tidy this woman is. And so I walked up to her, and of course I had to gush because it was Maxine Waters. And that's, you heard that voice I just did?
Yeah, I heard your voice crack.
So I said, oh God. And I'm like, I'm sorry. I said, Miss, you know, Congresswoman Waters, I said, you are one of the main reasons why I vote. I said, I am sorry that I have never been able to vote for you because I've never lived in your district, but I vote for you I have been voting for you vicariously since I was 18. And she smiles. She's like, well, what district do you live in? And I told her, I said, yeah, my congressperson is Brad Sherman. And she's like, yeah, he all right, but he ain't one of us.
Well, I mean, it's true.
And then the best part about it was she asked me my name.
Yes, she did. She asked me my name.
Maxine Waters asked my name. Okay, yes, I'm still gushing.
She is, of course, a consummate politician, and she's going to ask your name.
Mm-hmm, because that's what politicians are supposed to do, even though I am not in her district. Okay? But here's the best part. I had on a T-shirt, and my T-shirt read, are you ready? Read banned books.
Oh, you were, yes.
She liked, she's like, yes, girl. She's like, isn't it ridiculous that in 2022, we are at this point that we have to wear T-shirts like that? She co-signed on my T-shirt, Robin.
Get out.
She didn't sign it, but she just like, she's like, oh. So I had my moment of my brush with greatness, I can die. The only other person now that I have to meet is Michelle Obama. And then, I don't care about, Oprah, but no.
Well, what about, hold on, what about, the Barbara Jackson Lee? Or Sheila Jackson Lee?
Karen, I might,
Karen Bass?
Karen Bass. Yeah, but I'm just saying.
Or badass Lucy McBath?
Or Val Demings.
But I mean, you're right. I mean, Auntie Maxine is the auntie.
I mean, and I said, and I called her, by the way, I called her Auntie Maxine.
And she smiled. Tell me she smiled, please.
Oh, big. Well, she didn't have. I couldn't tell she had on the mask, but I saw it in her. There's a twinkle. There's a twinkle in her eye. I got the twinkle. I call her Auntie. Yes, I said Auntie, not Auntie. Auntie Maxine. Isn't it amazing how many different voices I have?
Yes. You develop if you hang out with me for a decade, you're gonna wind up using some different voices.
I said Auntie Maxine. Yes. So I was.
This also comes of a childhood spent watching Bugs Bunny cartoons.
Yes. Monsters make such interesting people.
Oh, that's never going to stay. You're going to need a permanent amendment.
So I get back in my car, I make my purchase, and I'm so happy, I'm so giddy. And so I get back in my car, and I get back on the freeway. And so I see, as I'm getting on the freeway, the freeway is like at a dead stop. And I'm like, what's going on? So there's a police car pulled over to the side of the freeway, and this white cop is on the side of the freeway with his assault rifle out.
Okay.
There's no other cars. There's not. And only thing I could think of is, what could he be searching for that you need? Your first instinct is to take out your assault rifle. Not your taser, not your handgun, but your first instinct is to take out your assault rifle. That part.
You'd like to be able to have the confidence to say there's somebody standing over there, with a cop standing over there with his assault rifle, that's because they're well-trained enough and sufficiently taught enough to know that the pistol, the pepper spray, the handcuffs, the club, the 5-cell battery mag light are not going to be sufficient to the task, that the threat, there must be some kind of threat.
Right. What is, there's like you said, this level of escalation. And you're by yourself. So obviously, there was no need for SWAT. He didn't call for backup or anything like that. He's just on the embankment of the freeway with automatically with his assault rifle out. So that just sucked. All that black beauty and black girl magic and black excellence that I have been in, and just in 5 seconds, gone. Because I'm like, whatever he was looking for, I guarantee you, Robin, AR or whatever assault rifle was not needed. And speaking of, so I was listening to my shows this morning, Dominique DePriva, on KBLA 1580, and they were, going over the some of the election results from our, California and LA County primaries yesterday. But one of the things, and talk about gun control and stuff like that. And there was a story, and I wish I didn't, because they didn't mention what city or where this person was. But apparently, as an older Republican, and again, I don't know if this is true because I can't fact check it because I don't know. Like I said, I can't fact check because that's what we do on the Horn, people.
We do try to get our facts straight. Yeah, I mean, this ain't right wing radio.
You know. But if this, in case this is true, but Dominic DeFrima and the woman, her name it was Janine Malvo, I forget, or something like that, and she's an economist, but she was saying how, in light of the recent mass shootings, it was an older white gentleman who, a Republican, who turned his, he never noticed it before, but he looked on his gun, his assault rifle, automatic rifle or whatever, and it said, and he had never looked at it before, it said, for military use only, stamped on the gun.
Yes.
And he said, why as a private citizen, do I need anything that is stamped for military use only? And he got rid of it. And this was the Republican.
You know, I mean, that's actually responsible. I mean, if it's for military use only, turn it into the military.
Right.
But the thing is, that's also, Tracy, you got to bear in mind, just to kind of drill down a little bit, that's also, oh, God, I hate to put it this way. I hate that my brain works this way. But that's also marketing, okay?
Right. Oh, that's, I mean, that's
it's
hard,
like it's like extra strength Tylenol, okay?
Right.
It's
because
just,
if the military uses it, that makes you, once you want.
I mean, if you're a pasty-faced, doughy, white, paranoid Republican dude, you see that, and that's, pardon my crassness, a little dick hardener. Military use only. Well, if I got me one of these, I'm almost like a real soldier.
Right. The one fucking day that I need to have to get back to the valley at a good time and the freeway is, there must be an accident up here because somebody was on the 101 and decided that they can go 80 miles an hour on a freeway that is barely designed for 55 miles an hour. But anyway,
there's always one. I was trying to get on the ramp to the turnpike. We just call it the turnpike. I was trying to get on the ramp to the turnpike after I went and saw little Lily today. And, you know, got my blinker on. Oh, hell no. I mean, there's somebody a quarter mile behind me that goddamn guns it to make sure I'm not in front of them, blows past me in the right lane, gets over in the left lane, and then I get in the... I'm like, what the... And when she's out with me, Annette is forever saying, you know, I think COVID just made people really bad drivers. I think it made people crazy. I think the isolation just, and then I think COVID brain is, and you know what? She may be right.
Oh, no. Saturday, I was having this conversation because Saturday was my airport day. And I was having these conversations with my passengers because we were like, have you noticed? Because what do? I drive for a living. So I noticed these patterns in the way people are driving. And you know, I've noticed that, I mean, people are stupid anyway, but they become more stupider since COVID. And even more selfish. If that's even to wrap your head around the fact that people have become even more selfish over the last couple of years, is even more frightening of a thought. But it's like, I don't know what's going on now. But I don't know if it's COVID brain or the isolation, or this, like when I'm trying to, like right now, I'm trying to get over There's no reason why you can't. People can't. I love it when they know you're trying to get over, and then they look the up. Like, they look in the opposite direction, so they act like they don't see you trying to get over. And we're not moving anyway, right?
Right. So, that, no. All that big primate brain shit goes out the window. It seems in a traffic jam.
You know, when people are
and it's all just lizard brain behavior. But then again, you're a professional and you're driving among civilians.
That part. You know, and I expect a certain level of civility. And it's like, it's like right now, this guy, they see me trying to get over, and instead of just letting me over, they damn near hit. Oh, speaking of, it's like, dude, I'm trying to get off the freeway. If you guys want to stay on the fucker, fine, but let me off, because whatever is going on is stupid, and I want off. But then again, I'm looking at the street, and I'm trying to see if the street is worse than the freeway right now. But anyway, aside from that, so speaking of, you know, like I said, today, you know, yesterday was our, you know, California state primary and the, you know, local primary.
All right, I mean, I was going to ask you, are you happy with the outcome?
At least marginally? At least marginally. This morning, when we spoke this morning, I still, because I've been ripping and running, so I haven't sat down to see exactly all the results, because the voter turnout was dismal. I mean, and let's face it, people are burnt. They have election burnout, COVID burnout. People are disengaged. But then again, also, the Democratic Party needs to take responsibility for the lack of black people turning out, especially because just shut up and just vote blue when it comes to black people. We are kind of tired of that. I mean, I'm an informed voter, and I'm going to vote Democrat because, again, you know, black people, we're not a monolith. Democrats are not a monolith. However, when it comes to the issues, I just wish that we as Democrats would take a page from the Republican playbook and vote. Like, you know, and get behind the issue and vote and just get people into office and not have these, you know, assholes taking over our country. So I'm happy that, Karen Bass got 30, I mean, this was as of this morning, 6 o'clock my time, a.m. Karen Bass got 37% of the vote. And Rick Caruso got 42%. Villanueva, thank God, because in California and Los Angeles, you have to get, in order for there not to be a run, for you to win outright, you have to get 51% of the vote. So there will be a runoff in November for sheriff. Now, the person that's running against Villanueva, I've never heard of this guy. He was not even on my radar. His name, I think, is Luna. Okay. This is in real time, y'all. This person was getting on the freeway and saw what was going on. Oh, he was on the off-ramp. This person is backing up off the off-ramp, on-ramp. I am literally watching somebody back up off the off-ramp or the freeway. That's kind of illegal, right, and dangerous. literally backing off. Anyway, so I have no idea what this person Luna stands for, because see, Venezuela talk about a wolf in sheep's clothing. He pulled the wool over our eyes 4 years ago. You know, he came in saying that he was a reformer, that he was gonna change the way the sheriff department was run, and he had a whole bunch of people. A whole bunch of people, Democrats, progressives, liberals, voting for him, and he got in with, you know, huge landslide, and it was the same old. Actually, it was worse. This man refused to enforce the statewide mask mandate. He's a maggot to the nth degree. And so the good news is that he did not win outright. So we do have a chance of getting rid of his janky ass in November. As far as Rick Caruso, the billionaire developer who spent so here's the beautiful thing, you know, the ROI, the return on investment. Now, he spent $40 million on his campaign, and the police protective league or whatever, or the police union kicked in. They spent $4 million on their campaign against Karen Bass. So in total, $44 million. was spent for Rick Caruso, as opposed to, I don't know how much money Karen Bass's campaign spent on her campaign for the primary, but I guarantee you it was nowhere near $44 million. And for his money, he only got 42%. Like I said, that was as of 6 o'clock this morning. He only got 42% of the vote. Whereas Karen Bass was spending nowhere near $40 million on her campaign, got 37%. Not a very good return on investment. What do you think? So that's damn near.
No, but then again, he has enough money to burn a sopping wet herd of sopping wet elephants with sopping wet $100 bills.
All right.
So ROI isn't really part of the equation, I don't think.
Well, what I'm saying is that even with all the money that he spent and Karen Bass did not, he did not outright win the primary. That's my point. And like I said, you know, because in other words, LA, he thought he could buy, because if he had beat Karen Bass, if he had gotten 51% of the vote, then he would have been Mayor Rick Caruso. There would have been no vote.
Right. If he'd crossed the 50% threshold, game over.
Right.
But so, one of the things, and you've mentioned it, is, I mean, one, that mayoral election matters because it has a ripple effect in California politics.
Right.
And something, and just, you know, this guy's an ex-Republican, right?
He was a Republican until 2 weeks before.
Yeah, see, that's the Jim Justice effect. Jim Justice was elected governor of West Virginia by a bunch of Democrats, okay? Because he had been a Republican all of his life. Joe Manchin talked him into switching parties. He got the nomination, won the election. So did Donald Trump in 2016. And the next thing you know, he was declaring his undying devotion to Donald Trump and becoming a Republican again.
Right.
And if what I want you to bear in mind, and everybody in California bear in mind, please, something that I've been saying for years, y'all aren't safe.
You're
may
not.
Think you are, but I promise you, You are not. Because what they're doing is they are radicalizing the states that they can radicalize. And then, of course, I remember, and I've mentioned this recently, I remember talking in Wisconsin, 8 years ago, when somebody asked me, you know, but why did the Koch brothers do this to Wisconsin? And I said, because making Alabama weirder is no fun. You destroy a progressive tradition in a progressive state, and you add that state to the fold, and you move on to the next one. And we're just about to the point where y'all are next. And what a pelt to nail to the door California would be. And if this Caruso gets in as mayor, you know he's going to have his eyes on the governor's mansion in Sacramento.
Yeah.
And you will have a Republican, and he can be elected as a Democrat, and you'll have a Republican governor before you know what happened.
That part. I mean, and see, this is why it is so important about civics and you know, education about just because you say, because I mean, I saw the writing on the wall when this motherfucker decided, oh, I'm going to get a billionaire. And that the best one, the best part is, I think I told you this about during the debate. When Karen Bass, you know, went on and said to Rick Caruso, you know, because he was going on and on about, you know, calling out elected officials, and she's like, about, you know, they're do nothing, and which is a slap in the face of Karen Bass for everything that she has done. She's like, you know, on behalf of all, because everybody that was running, you know, that was at the debate, is, you know, is some had been an elected official. And she said, well, you know, on behalf of my fellow elected officials, and you're constantly calling us out, you're the only person up here with the personal wealth and resources that could have done something about the homeless situation on your own. And so why is it that you've never done anything about it?
Crickets. I was about to say, let's see, which button is the crickets? That's the crickets.
Right. Because it's like, if you really care about the homeless situation in Los Angeles and, you know, affordable housing, you don't need to be mayor to do something about that. You're a billionaire who, until I did not know this until today, who came from money. His father, he's another Trump. And I noticed that, you know, during his campaign, he said nothing about the right to choose. He said nothing about climate change or anything like that. So what do you stand for? What kind of mayor are you going to be? And this, oh, I'm only going to take $1 a year for my salary and the blind trusts and all this. Yeah, how well did that work out with Donald Trump?
Well, you know, just, yeah, and you know what? We're getting some commentary. Ron in Raleigh and Matt in San Francisco have both pointed out. Matt says, California next. You're correct. Just take the very progressive San Francisco district attorney they successfully recalled yesterday. It was big right-wing money along with a media campaign that convinced enough San Franciscans that they needed to recall the DA or the marauding hordes of criminals would be at their doors by morning. Start at a local liberal enclave and test out your strategy, then expand. They're relentless. Yeah, they don't take days off. Ron in Raleigh says, progressive reformer Chesa Boudin was recalled not by Republicans but by developers, well-to-do Chinese and tech Democrats. They will reap what they sow.
that part.
Yeah.
Because
exactly.
These people, but see, again, it's the Democrats, and we have had this conversation for the last, you and I, for the last decade.
Yes.
Robin.
Yeah.
About the messaging. Because like I, you know, like I said, I was listening this morning to, and if you get a chance, check out KBLA in the podcast with Dominique DePrima. I'm just upset that they don't have more of her shows on the podcast. They only, I'm like, you know, I don't know why it's, they only hold like maybe 10 days of shows. So I think that's ridiculous. But anyway, they were talking about how, why is it, because, you know, with all this messaging about like these snatch and grab, because that's one of the things that they kept focusing on, and he's not tough on crime, and, you know, these people think that just because it's not a nonviolent crime, they can get away with stuff, which is not true. And they were focusing on one aspect of crime rising, but they didn't talk about the fact that crime has gone down in San Francisco since he became DA. But of course, the Democrats being the Democrats, they don't talk about these things. Like this whole thing, maybe like with Karen Bass, I don't know, hopefully they'll start bringing it up. But before Karen Bass became, I don't know if this is, before she became, became a representative in the state of California, when kids aged out of the foster care system, there was nothing. You were just out on your own. You were SOL. But because of Karen Bass, and this is when Schwarzenegger was the governor, she rallied Republicans and Democrats. And remember, this does not happen anymore. You cannot get, well, maybe on certain things. But for the most part, you can't get, you know, Republicans and Democrats to come together for shit. But anyway, back in the 90s, she came up with laws and programs that now when kids, you know, age out of foster care, there's things for housing, for education, for job training, and stuff like that. So they're just not left to their own devices. You know, she was...
Tracy? I lost Tracy. I hate it when that happens. Well, running over, I've got some thank yous to send out because way back when Tracy first started talking, Bernadette said, tell Tracy she's talked $10 to jump out of my broke ass to you, so I'm trying to make Tracy pay more. Thank you both for the extremely hard work you both do, and Robin, the package should arrive on 6/11. Blessings from the West. Thank you, Bernadette. I will haunt the mailbox. Stand by. Trying to figure out what happened to Tracy. But thank you. Thank you, Bernadette. And see, okay, now we've got her back.
Did I do it right this time?
You got it right this time.
Oh, God. Technology. What was the last thing I said before I was summarily dismissed by myself? This thing. And you're off.
And she's gone.
What was that? I know it's talking about Karen Bass, but what's the last thing you heard me say?
Well, you just went dark. I mean, it's just... Whoop.
So this, well, I was saying, I think, I don't know, I was talking about, well, the last thing I remember...
What I was doing once I lost you, I was updating where we are relative to your challenge. Back before you called, Don in BC, thank you, Don, jumped in and got us down to 980 to go. And then Bernadette answered your challenge and said that, and I read this after you were gone, tell Tracy she's talked $10 to jump from my broke ass to you. So I'm trying to make Tracy pay more. Thank you, Bernadette. And then, let's see, let's work from the bottom to the top. Lady B jumped in. Ralph's jumped in.
Black Girl Magic. See what
Arthur jumped in. And so we are, we are about, call it, $70 away from meeting your challenge, which would get us, if it's met, the Happy Birthday Little Lily challenge. That would get us down to, let's see, I said 980. That'd get us down to 780, and that's huge, huge. Let me see here.
Okay, no wonder what's going on. Now I know what's going on. There's something at the fucking Hollywood Bowl.
Yeah.
What's going on at the Hollywood Bowl? I think this is opening day. Did I lose you again?
No, I'm right here.
Okay. Well, something's going on because the roads are closed. But it's not. Although this is the Ford. No. Ooh. No, I'm not gonna go there. So I don't know. The roads are closed. You know, our president is here this week. Because of the, okay, are you ready for this? Hollywood Bowl, Earth, Wind, and Fire, Juneteenth, a global
celebration. Get out!
Oh, Robin, I think I might have to go to this.
Oh, well, do you think they'll invite Tay-Tay on to do a duet on September?
Shit,
she's going to reach through the phone and... tear my tongue out of my mouth.
And I will smack you ball-headed.
That was, I apologize. That was entirely uncalled for on my part.
That's blasphemous. Oh, remember how I said I would because who was I talking to when my mom was visiting for my graduation? Because you're not going to mention my...
Right, and we moved right into Valley Girl.
And I told her about, you know, my mother, you know, she was the queen of the 70s. And when I told her, and my mother, you know my mother well enough to know she does not say horrible things about people. I told my mother.
Yes. I do. I know your mama.
Not only did... a remake of September, but had the nerve to do an acoustic version of it. And then I did it.
Doesn't an acoustic version of September just entirely defeat the entire vibe of that wonderful, wonderful song?
That part.
I mean, that's like the unplugged version of Dark Side of the Moon, for God's sakes.
And I played, because I hadn't heard it, because I think you're the one that told me about it.
No, I know. It was my fault. I know. I accept it. I own my shit.
That was about 2 or 3 years. How long? It was a few years back or whenever it happened.
You're going to make me play this, aren't you?
Because people have to know. They have to know. So it will never happen again.
This must never happen again.
Never again.
Let's see who comes up first. SEPTEM. Well, thank God it comes up Earth, Wind, and Fire first. I'm going to hate myself for this. I mean, I don't.
Okay, wait. Listen to who's going to be here on this.
Okay.
Amir Suleiman, Anthony Hamilton, Billy Porter, Debbie Allen, Jams Academy, Earth, Wind, and Fire, Janae Aiko, Khalid. They lost me with Killer Mike. Remember him and the other conundrum?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I couldn't figure out. I had the story last week. For the life of me, Tracy, I could not figure out why he did an interview with Herschel Walker. Killer Mike.
The fact that he went to, you know, and then he actually went and met with Brian Kemp. Mary, Michelle Williams, Nikki Guyton, and she's a little suspect, too. And The Roots.
Oh, that'd be good.
I might have to do this. Sunday, June 19th. I will be doing this on my own because Jan is not going to go to this. That is not going to happen. Oh, wow. But see, the thing is, Robert, I'm not ready for that many, to be around that many people, though.
Yeah.
What is Earth, Wind, and Fire? What am I? Who knows when I'm going to actually be able to see them in concert?
Well, Tracy, this is not like you going to the thing about going to Vegas at the beginning of the pandemic and me having to talk you out of it.
That's true. This is going to be this. This is going to be something for the ages.
Well, I'm going to do this, and you're going to hate me. We won't play much of it, but just so we can understand what a true abomination sounds like. And this is not to say I don't like Tay-Tay. She's smart. She's super talented. Just there's some things that just... I mean, it's like remaking Casablanca. Don't fucking do it, okay?
Stay in your lane.
Do you remember... 28th night of September.
Nope. So that reminds me of the old truism. What's the difference between an onion and a banjo?
I don't know. What is the difference between an onion and a banjo?
No one cries when you cut up a banjo. I mean, other people have changed genres on music and done it with some skill. I got one here.
Ray Charles and country music.
Well, there's that, but here's an even better one. I mean, I think this really does speak to, it's not gender bending, but genre bending. Try this.
Brought me a beer, and I think it's time we all take just a moment and drink a little.
Woo!
Are you still drinking with us out there?
We are!
It's America, North Carolina craft beer we're drinking right now.
Now this is a guy with two guys with guitars, one with a mandolin, one with a banjo. Okay, we're gonna stop with the talking to the crowd part, and let's do this.
That's the beautiful thing about being from the Appalachian Mountains in the Tennessee, North Carolina line, man. Is it
still talking? Hang on, we'll get there.
Still talking.
All right, yeah, I think they're going now.
Living easy, living free, season taking over the way you ride, asking nothing, leave the game.
Now that is the bluegrass version of AC/DC's classic Highway to Hell.
What's it? Oh, okay. I'm trying, you know, man, in music, I'm not, is it, you know, I don't do music like you do music.
Yeah.
I think I know that song, because again, you know, there's certain music, I mean, I think I'd have to hear the whole thing before I can say, oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, they do, you know, Thunderstruck, Highway to Hell. I don't know if they do She Shook Me All Night Long. It's funny, the little story, it was several weekends back, and I was corresponding with Lady B, and...
she would have got it, because Lady B.
Yeah, right. But that Australian girl who lives in my phone followed up the song that Lady B had suggested with You Shook Me All Night Long by AC/DC, and I wrote her back and I said, oh my God, all these years and I only just now figured out that You Shook Me All Night Long by AC/DC is actually a love ballad.
It is?
Yes, it absolutely is. Pay attention to the lyrics. And by the way, I got a note here from Lady B. Tracy made me feel like I was back at St. John's Baptist Church. Except she didn't have the deacons get up and block the door so you couldn't leave. Dipped into another account, trying to do my part, because Robin's voice desperately needs to be heard. Congrats on your undergrad, Tracy. Believe it or not, I found it easier to get my master's degree. By then, it wasn't my first rodeo, and I could focus on what I love, which is communication. I have a great niece named Lily. She's 10, smart as a whip. I hope our brand new Miss Lily will have as promising a future as my Lily does. With Robin as one of her three grandmas, I know she will. I love hearing the both of you. Let's keep Robin on the air. Love you both. Have a good show. Thank you, Lady B. Thank you so much. And so, by the way, Arnold and PA jumped in. We are now down to $45 to go on your challenge. The Happy Birthday Miss Lily challenge has $45 to go on it. And we've got a little over a half an hour to meet it and maybe take things down a little further and avert a significant disaster. It'd be wonderful if we could. Tired of sweating this thing. By the way, back to Casablanca 2. Arthur says, featuring Bruce Willis and Steven Seagal and Meryl Streep. Dear God, wow. I may not eat for a month of Sundays, Arthur. That was just cold.
That's just so
Scott in San Diego. Scott in San Diego says, song cover versions. Let's face it, some of them just don't work. Example, You're Having My Baby by the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. And I think that was actually referenced on season one, episode one of WKRP in Cincinnati. I know it was because he actually cues it up and it starts playing. Yeah.
Wait, what? That's not a joke. That really
happened? Well, no, I think it was a joke, but they actually produced a little bit of the song. You're having my baby.
Oh.
You know, I can sing that high now because of, I had surgery last November. That's a joke.
You know, I know, and I got the joke. You don't have any more junk in your trunk. What?
I'm resisting with the entirety of my being every joke that I want to make right now because it'll make the guys in the Horn Family Community Congregation just cringe all the way from the tips of their toenails to the tops of their heads. Bye, boys. Because, you know, I did ask if I could take them home with me.
I know, because I asked you if you remember we talked about
yeah.
that.
And the doc looked at me and said, no, they have to be biopsied to make sure you're okay. But B was curious and said, why in God's name? I said, because I want to have them dipped in bronze and turned into earrings so that when some asshole looks at me and says, did you get rid of your balls? I can pull my hair back and say, no, they're right here. Because, you know, people say that kind of shit to you when, you know, you're post-op trans. They just come up out of the blue and start asking you about your surgery. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, okay, let's talk. I don't know. Fine, we'll talk about mine. Let's talk about your appendectomy.
Right, or your prostate.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I tried. I still got one of those, you know. I'm fairly safe at this time. It's about the size of a peanut. Estrogen does that. Oh, God, I'm making people cringe. Hey. I can hear radios turning off all over America. Hey, I need to do one thing real quick, and we'll just have a little mini... okay, it's not a porch. It's more of like a gazebo, because Scary Jerry is with us, I think. Is that you, Scary Jerry?
Can you hear me?
I hear you.
I'm calling you live from... Florida, and I have a Florida update. Florida man,
oh, man.
Watching the hurricanes go by.
How is it?
It's downright sexy right now. There's a storm system moving through. You can hear thunderstorms rumbling in the background. Skin temperature is about 82 degrees. I'm not even running my air conditioner.
Oh, my. Oh my! So the barometer must be falling like a paralyzed falcon.
Slightly. Miss Tracy, is that you, honey?
That is Miss Tracy.
That would be me. Yes.
One time when I was DJing at a racist strip club in the Florida Keys in Amrata, shout out to Woody's. They had some good pizza. They were racist as hell. It was a strip club. And you couldn't play hip-hop, which... cancels a lot of your catalog if you think about it. So, there was one
wait
night...
a minute, wait a minute. Which cancels a lot of your catalog if you think about it. Yeah, it does.
Oh, it was worse. You couldn't play a set because invariably there'd be some damaged honey who'd want to play, demand that I play Jenny Has a Gun, which I may be overstating this, but I think that's a molestation song. Yeah, that'll clear out a strip club faster than a bomb. Wow. But see, that actually happened. That should be in a movie somewhere. So this one night, I played September at just the right time, and even the bitchy lesbian bar manager bopped a little bit. The drop was just awesome. It was a great night. Your music playing tonight just brought me back. I've been going through some things, girls. Going through some things. I threw my own memorial for Miss Carolyn yesterday. I've been going through it.
No.
I've been really angry and wanting to fight air. So finally, I buried her and said all the things I wanted to say. I cried like a whole school bus full of girls who took their ice cream, and I just let it all out. Because I couldn't really get high anymore because I was just getting side effects and I can't get a call into a therapist. And I actually talked to even a rabbi yesterday, and that was very cleansing. I don't know where the body is. And I took care of her for the last 5 years. And it was brutal. Every fucking second. And I was just numb. And then my psychotic kind of coming out of the closet roommate tried to sexually assault me about 3 weeks ago, and I almost had to shoot a bitch, if that makes sense. And I talked to both my dead mother and my dead wife. It's been intense, girls. How y'all doing?
I'm good. It does sound intense.
So, here's a good part, because there has to be some kind of punchline. The technology... The two technologies that conquered Florida were alcohol and alcohol smuggling, let's be honest. But mosquito control and air conditioning. I have finally found my Los Pollos Hermanos for my Walter White / Gus Fring skills. And if I'm even slightly lucky, I'm going to actually have legitimate sounding ants on your show. It'll be great. It'll be our inside joke. You hear that, Horn? We're going to do this.
Okay.
We're going to do this. In grief and death, they're gifts, believe it or not. Clarity, fearlessness, and humor and creativity. Your neurons almost flinch because you have to live differently. I've been moved where I'm at. Your neurons have to, you have to live differently or you're going to die. You're going to just float away. Hold on. Let me readjust my phone. Almost there.
Okay. Oh, by the
way, right, how do I sound?
You sound great. Let me note that while we're at it, Bernadette just kicked in another $10 and said, here's a little more if you never play that version of September ever, ever again. I mean, ever! Black Girl Magic!
Robbie, baby?
Yeah?
Robbie, don't do that. That was terrible. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, I think after the program, I'm going to cleanse my palate with some Prince playing While My Guitar Gently Weeps.
No, I sent you a link. You must do this right now.
Okay.
Or I'll sit here and wait the 5 minutes and 42 seconds. Play the link I sent you.
Okay,
It made it into my top 10.
This looks... no, I see what it is. December 15th, 2002. Why? Oh, wait, I've got it on... It's on the wrong device. That's my bad. Sorry. Yeah, no, we're good. We're okay. That was my screw up.
No, I'm saying son of a bitch because I thought the way that I'm going, I thought the road was closed, but it isn't. So I'm sorry, motherfucker.
Yeah, okay. This is going to be a lot better. Don't be an ad.
No ads. Okay. You're going to have a little station idea out there.
Yeah, I'm getting that right now. This is
about
Prince, 2002.
Seconds.
Jimmy Page got no complaints. God, I miss him.
Yeah. His birthday was a couple of days ago.
Lord God, that's intense. Yeah, I'm gonna enjoy all of that after the show.
I've heard it 7 times already today.
I can see where you would. Just loop it. Loop it.
The scary part is I also played. That what?
I said June is Black Music History Month or something like that. We, you know, every so often, you know, we get Black History Month, but now we have Black Music Month, for Black Music History Month or something like
that. Oh, then we need 2 months for that, girl. Come on now.
No,
we need two months for that.
One of these days, something black is actually going to get a 31-day month.
Yes.
Oh, here, wait a minute. Can I... Let me completely ruin the vibe, okay?
Okay.
Because I'm going to... God.
Why you do this, Robin? Don't do this. Don't do this to us. We in a good place. Oh, no. What was that?
I don't know.
Oh, nothing. That was my car saying that I was too close to something. Which
okay. Who? Normal sound. Normal sound.
There's a pretty much Klansman running for the Republican Senate nomination in Arizona. They don't have their primary till August 2nd. He's got a shit ton of money behind him. He's a venture capitalist. His name is Blake Masters. And he's got a shit ton of money behind him from Peter Thiel, who is, of course, a maggot. And he showed up on something called the Jeff Horowitz show. Jeff Horowitz? I don't know. I'll take the rabbits. And, you know, when they believe them, when they tell you who they are, believe them the first time. He was talking gun violence a couple of months ago on the Jeff Horowitz show. Or rabbits. And, In talking about the American abattoir, he said, it's gangs. It's people in Chicago, St. Louis, shooting each other. Very often, you know, black people, frankly, and the Democrats don't want to do anything about that. Yeah. And then he blamed the media for the words that he said, because Republican, because maggot. Journalists only cover shootings where the shooters and victims fit a certain profile. But most victims of gun murder in America are black men. And most perpetrators of gun murder in America are black men. These are simple facts. Go look up the FBI crime statistics and CDC cause of death data while you still can. God.
You know what pisses me off?
It gets so tiresome.
But what pisses me off? It's when they say, go look it up. And I'm like, okay, well, why should I? You're the one that's quoting these facts or these statistics. Then why don't you put a link to this shit on your webpage? Because, you know, if that's, the, you know, because that's when they say, when they throw it, it's why you still can. So if you go to look for those statistics, and of course they're not there because it's bullshit, then it's a CC. It was there when I looked it up. Uh-huh. Okay, then if that's the case, then do a screenshot of it. That part. I don't know. I'm just saying. I'm just tired of people, Robin. I'm tired.
I know.
Let's do some happy stuff real quick. So this is all your fault. So where were we? I sent you the pictures.
Yeah, I knew it was going to be my fault.
It's all your fault.
This is why.
You know, because usually when...
So I have to marry my...
They blame black women. So now I'm going to blame the white woman. Because this morning you were talking about Mexican food, okay? So, okay, I did not start off trying to have Mexican food. I wanted...
God, that was some beautiful Mexican food.
Okay, so what had happened was... And let me go back. So remember how you were talking about, you know, about taking better care of yourself and all that. And I need to start doing the same thing because, you know, I have gained a lot of weight and I'm just been eating like there's no tomorrow. So I went to a doctor today, and because, you know, I've been having issues with my feet swelling and pain. So the good news, bad news. Well, still, they still can't. I still have lymphedema. That's never going anywhere. But the good news is, I got a handicap placard because it hurts when I walk. So I got a handicap placard. So I'm like, okay. And I was hungry. So there's this restaurant called the Griddle Cafe. They make amazing food. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to go there for breakfast. And it's always usually really busy and stuff. And I always take, look, I'm a very patient person. I always take into account, you know, and, you know, staff shortages and all sorts of stuff. Because I understand that people aren't going to work for, you know, for pittance anymore. So I go in. There's nobody at the front to greet or anything. There's just a list, and you sign your name. So I saw that there was seat at the counter. So I just went ahead and sat down. And I'm sitting. Nobody comes to acknowledge me or anything like that. 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes. And I'm, you know, I'm on a schedule because I got to get back to the valley. Plus, I'm hungry, sliding into, not hangry, but I'm looking at my watch like, you know, I'm wondering.
Kind of on the way. Not hangry, but perhaps annoyed.
Annoyed. And still nothing. A young man comes, I'll be right back, you know, I'll be with you. And he leaves and disappears. And so I'm like, okay, he didn't ask me if I wanted water or anything like that. I haven't ordered. God only knows how long that's going to take. And I'm like, screw it. And so I got up and left because me. And so, I said, okay, because again, so I left and I went to, so now I'm thinking, okay, so I got to be back in the valley by, you know, 2 o'clock. At this point, it's 12:30. I'm still good. I still have plenty of time. So then I'm like thinking, do I want pancakes still? Because then I'm like, okay, I can go to DuPar's. And if you remember DuPar's, was in our favorite show, Bosch. Unfortunately.
Yes.
That's where his ex-wife gets murdered. But,
right, right.
Know,
yeah.
Damn good pancakes.
Didn't ruin the pancakes.
She wasn't shot outside. She wasn't shot in, you know, she wasn't shot in the restaurant, and she was shot on her way to the car. So I'm awful. I am an awful, awful human being. But again, I'm like, do I want pancakes? So I'm like, now, because at this point, pancakes are ruined for me. So I said, okay, I'm going to have Mexican. So I go to El Coyote. And so you saw my lunch.
Gorgeous. That was El Coyote?
Yes, that was El Coyote.
Because, you know, you can just do that. Well, yeah. I've got El Bandito and El Rio Grande Day.
Okay.
And they're really nice people. And the food for around here is pretty damn good.
Yeah, but it's just, you know,
they got some bacon wrapped shrimp.
That's not your food.
Well, they put like lettuce and rice and beans and pico and guacamole with it. I mean, and tortillas. No. I mean, I think it's what is it? Camarones Monterrey.
You know what, but from where you live, I'll take the win for you. It's the win. You can't, you know, I just can't wait you get out here so I could take you to some, you know, bona fide. Oh, my God. So, speaking of food, so I'm driving yesterday, and I see not a taco truck, Robin, but a pupusa truck!
A who? What?
A pupusa truck.
No. No. Go on. Yeah. I know. I know. Fangirl squealing, right?
See, I could do that. Isn't it scary how I can? And it said pupusa, 2, 3 for $5. I'm like, oh, my God. So, because I saw they were setting, he had just pulled into his spot on Sherman Way and Sepulveda. And when I was coming back through, he was still setting up. So now I have to stalk him. And I was, because I had, when I was coming back through, I had some Latinx customers. And I impressed them because everything on the truck was in Spanish, right? And I'm like, oh, check that out. 3 pupusas for $5. And they looked at me like, what? And I'm like, and then I said, oh, look, 2 pupusas. He's like, you get 2 pupusas for either a soda or a coffee. They're like, wait, what are you doing here? I'm like, yeah, so be careful what you're saying, speaking Spanish in the back seat. And they laughed. I'm like, yeah. I mean, I speak Spanish, you know, well enough to understand full-on conversations.
Yeah, or machine gun Spanish.
Next thing. That is my next. I really need to learn how to speak Spanish. And I really have no excuse not to know how to speak Spanish. I live in California, for God's sake. And California, you know, used to be part of Mexico. That part.
Yep. Spanish was spoken there long before English was. Hell, yeah. There are parts of Northern California, I think Russian was spoken before English was.
But then again, if I really want to get down to it, I need to learn the actual indigenous language that was spoken here. Did I tell you, that's right, you didn't get to watch my graduation ceremony. But we actually, before any of the ceremonies at CSUN, and I think at all the Cal States, they do an acknowledgement of the land that was stolen, and they acknowledge the indigenous people who the land actually belonged to before they do any part of any ceremony. And that's how they open all the ceremony, any program at CISA. Oh, and by the way, you can still watch the graduation. I forgot to tell you that. Not like you have time to do a whole lot of stuff right now.
I saw some of it.
Oh, okay. I think here's the funny part, our department, because the departments were in alphabetical order. And our department, you know, Africana Studies, not only was the first department called, but the smallest. And it was cool until, you know, we had to shift through the entire other social and behavioral sciences, classes. It's like, oh, I thought social sciences, sociology, I think between sociology and criminal justice, I think those were the two biggest, because they had to break up the department, the College of Social and Behavioral Sciences, because there was two graduations, one that morning and then one in the evening. That's just how big College of Social and Behavioral Sciences is. But that part.
That's huge.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, did you ever get back to the Bosch episode where? And we lost Scary Jerry for some reason. Did you ever get back to the Bosch episode where her partner talks about being a graduate of CSUN?
Yes, yes. Like you said, they were at Trejo Donuts.
Yeah.
And, she just mentions it briefly. And I'm like, oh, okay, dude. Shout out to CSUN! Cal State Northridge!
Alma mater!
Matadors! I can say that. I'm an alumna. Oh, my God.
Wait a minute. Oh, I am. Wait. I am so proud. I'm so proud. You just did your Latin right. Not that I'm surprised, but you did. The number of people who don't, you didn't say I'm an alumnus, and you didn't say I'm an alumni.
Nope.
I'm an alumna.
My Latin, Dr. Watson would be so proud.
Yes.
Dr. Watson would be like, "What, bitch? What?" And he came to my graduation party.
Oh, how cool! Now we really do have to kick ass. Now we really do have to kick ass on the paper.
I have this paper has to be, and one of my problems, because we both know I can write, but the problem is because of my, literally my reputation, especially among the black faculty at CSUN, precedes me. I was, as I was lining up for black, for a black grad, right?
Yeah.
One of the black professors who I've never seen says, "You're Tracy Porter." And I'm like, yes. She's like, "I've heard great things."
So, whoa.
When people, see, so, you know, when people say stuff like that to you, it kind of, you know, it's flattering as all get out, but it with somebody like me who has issues with my writing and my, you know, self-doubt as hell, and when people hit, you know, women, black women who say, "I've heard great things," I freeze. And you don't want to disappoint. You're so afraid of failure, then you just don't do shit. Does that make sense? I mean, and there's that little self-sabotage in it, too. We've had this discussion. So, oh, thank God the Krispy Kreme donut light is not on right now.
Take your little blessings where you find them.
But does that make? I mean, I know it's crazy. It's a little crazy. But it's those things. It's like, don't stop, keep going. It's, you know, those things that kind of freak me out. It's like, I know I could do things. I graduated, I'm a college graduate, for God's sake. But it's just that I get to that point where I freak myself out, and then it's like a deer caught in headlights. But anyway, I digress.
Well,
so how are we with fundraising right now?
We're $40 from meeting your challenge. And hopefully that'll happen in the next 7 minutes. I got to tell you, going way back in the conversation, Arnold, who jumped in and got us down there. No, I'm sorry, $35. Did Tracy just say you have nothing in your trunk? I can't comment. This is out of control now. See what you do. And Arnold noted AC/DC's Thunderstruck is also a love song. Just because it's three chords and it's really loud doesn't mean it can't be tender.
Well, see, again, because, see, this is, you guys are talking music that is so not in my wheelhouse. Wait a minute. Am I crazy, or did I hear, speaking of not so much loud music, but rock music, am I crazy? Because yesterday was a long day. Did I hear that John Bon Jovi died?
What?
I heard somebody from Bon Jovi on the news yesterday, because I've been up late doing work, and I've been incredibly tired, and I could have sworn,
he is still among the quick.
Okay, so somebody from Bon Jovi die yesterday?
I don't know. I think. Oh, there's a band that is going to do it. They're going to do a tour, and they're going to do a tribute to their drummer. And I'm probably going to have my rock and roll card pulled for this. And I can't bring it to mind. By the way, okay, it was Alec John Such dies. Founding Bon Jovi bassist was 70. So the bassist for Bon Jovi. Thank you, Ralph's serving as the Horn Ad Hoc Research Department.
Ad Hoc Research Department. Yeah. Because it couldn't have been John Bon Jovi, because we would have been hearing about it all day today. That would have been breaking news. So I'm like, nah. But I know I heard Bon Jovi. Okay, it just wasn't. John Bon Jovi. Okay.
No, as a member of.
That. Because I'm like, yeah.
So we like I said, we're at $35, but I got a note from Lady B. You know, we really hurt. I played what, maybe 12 bars of September by Taylor Swift. Lady B writes, Taylor Swift doing a remake of September. Fuck, girlfriend, you might as well remake Handel's Messiah into a dance track. Fuck that bitch. Maurice White is spinning in his grave. P.S. If Philip Bailey and Maurice White's brother, Verdine, are performing, it'll be good. Bailey did falsetto, but he can also cover Maurice's parts. Seriously, Tay-Tay pisses me off. A fucking banjo? I grew up with Earth, Wind, and Fire's music. It was a significant contribution to black culture. If you're going to cover Earth, Wind, and Fire, do it right. Again, fuck her. Sincerely, Lady B. A disgusted Lady B.
Yeah, that part, Lady B. It's like we it's because of people like Taylor Swift. You know, see, that's appropriate.
Oh shit! P.S. Lady B says John Seals died. Oh,
what is that?
Seals and Crofts.
What?
We may never pass this way again. Summer Breeze.
Oh.
Ow.
Damn.
Yeah, I was actually humming that the other day. Yeah, there. Yeah, and Jim Seals of Seals and Crofts passed away at 79. Summer Breeze was one of the biggest hits and one of my favorites. They had so many great songs: Diamond Girl, Na Na Na, Get Closer, We May Never Pass This Way Again, Hummingbird. Great singer-songwriters, great musicians. And this is just, I mean, I love the way DJ brains work. This is actually for tomorrow.
Yeah,
I'll say...
The people who think they are great, today is Kanye West's birthday.
Let me get back to Lady B. That matters.
In
other news... No, I love the way DJ brains work because you hear a song and you can, and it's not just DJ brains, but you hear a song and you can associate it with a specific, you know, micro precise moment in time. Lady B says, I remember a hot summer evening in 1974 in Fort Hood, Texas. My twin and I were 5 years old and were playing in the water sprinkler. Our two big brothers, Ray and Roy, were talking to their friend Bruce in the front yard. The Isley Brothers version of Summer Breeze was playing on the turntable. Both versions were great and made me feel as good as writing those lyrics must have felt to Jim and Dash. See the paper laying in the sidewalk, little music from the house next door. So I walked on up to the doorstep, through the screen, and across the floor. Summer Breeze makes me feel fine, blowing through the jasmine in my mind. R.I.P. Jim Seals.
Man.
May the afterlife be filled with summer breezes colored with the scent of jasmine.
Man.
Damn, Lady
and
B. Damn.
Damn. When you walk into my house, when you walk up my stairs on my front porch, there's jasmine. Because I love the scent of jasmine. But it's like, I can hear, you know, around eyes that go, summer. Summer breeze. May see you forever. Flowing through the jasmine in my mind. Yeah, man. I'm sorry. I love that song.
Yeah. And
I'm sorry for all those people going, oh, no, don't sing.
No, We May Never Pass This Way Again is good for at least, you know, at least a good, you know, a good 15-second tear up anytime I hear it.
Yeah. I mean... I'm not a big, you know, I think I told you this, I was watching an episode of Ray Donovan. It's the last season of Ray Donovan, you know, the series finale. And when he finally decides to go to therapy, and you know who plays his therapist?
Who?
Alan Alda.
Oh, my God.
That part, yes. So you know, and if you know anything about the show, you know, Ray Donovan is a fixer, and he's done some horrific things. And people he has, you know, have died that he cared about because of his activities and stuff like that. So, and he's had, and of course, John Voight played his father, and we already know what he's a piece of shit in real life, and he's a piece of shit on this show. But anyway,
typecasting.
So he talked. One of the things he talked about, and we know of how my battle with mental health issues have been over the years, and he talks about depression, how depression is a thief that steals your memories. Because I have, like how Lady B was talking about remembering being 5 years old and playing with her twin, how vivid those memories are. I have such a hard time recalling anything from my childhood. And it's not because of dementia or Alzheimer's or anything like that. I have blocked a significant amount of my memories for, you know, as a coping mechanism because of all the trauma that I have dealt with over the decades. And so I envy people when they can recall, because like my, you know, I have conversations with my siblings and they're talking about stuff that we did. And well, don't you remember this? And I'm like, no. And I know they're not, I know it's not like, you know, when people say, well, you were so, you know, like, not like those stories that you've been out drinking and you know people are making stuff up, you know. Oh, yeah, no, that did not happen. But no, this is actual, you know, memories. And they're going on and on about stuff that I know happened, but I have no recollection. I do not, you know, there's no recall whatsoever. And so I envy people that can remember stuff in such detail. I just wish I could. Because I know my entire childhood was not trauma-filled, but so much of it was. Because I know there's some great memories. I just can't remember them because of everything else that happened. And that really sucks, you know, that because of my depression and everything, that I can't remember a lot of the good stuff. And that Lady B can go back until she was five years old and remember something like that. Come on. That's fucking awesome. And the stuff that you remember as well. Like I said, the stuff that you have forgotten more than I can never try to remember. You know, that part.
Well, it maybe it makes up for a lot of the shit that I don't know.
True.
Like, you know, how to fix the sink. And... Shut up. I've been a helpless girl for a lot longer than transition. Help. And so it's so funny because estrogen, when you're trans, estrogen takes away a lot of your physical strength, and it does it rather quickly.
Seriously? I did not know that.
Oh yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah, I mean, like you lose muscle mass like crazy. What used to be, honest to God, at one point guns, are very girlish biceps now, and so.
Water pistols.
I had I had a the flit guns, zip guns. I got a jar of okra pickles the other. Oh God, I love okra pickles.
Okra, wait, did you say okra
pickles? Yeah, baby, okra pickles. Never had an okra pickle?
Okay. I mean, I do like okra, so I'm not giving you shit. I do like okra.
Well, so this is, no, these are just brilliant, crisp, whole okra pods. They're pickles. And I found a jar of the hot and spicy ones over at the in the Amish section at the Ben Franklin in Fayetteville, and it was like, well, I got to have these. And I bought me a jar of hot, spicy pickled asparagus while I'm at it.
There's an Amish section. There's a, like out here, there's a kosher section.
Mm-hmm.
So at your store, there's an Amish section?
Oh, hell yes. Girl, the pickled the pickled eggs are to die for. I made deviled eggs out of their pickled eggs one time, and it was the most amazing thing I ever ate.
Amish section. See, this is why I love this country. Because there's such a thing as an Amish section.
Yeah. And the jams and the jellies. Oh. But anyway, so I got this jar of, and I mean, I got them, and it's like, oh, I got to have one right now. Probably drink some of the pickle juice, too.
Yeah, I can't drink pickle juice.
And I sat there in the car, and it's like, kind of, and then I got, I bought some wooden spoons for the horn in, and I got my wooden spoon, and whack, 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 whack. And I'm like, well, I'm not having any okra pickles, because I can't open jars anymore, and I don't have a man around.
Oh, I think you need to invest in one of those jar openers as a lifestyle.
No, I've got one, but I don't carry it with me in the car.
Well, just carry it, get one for the car, baby.
I know.
The things that I keep in my car for things that I cannot open, that I, you know, like I keep a jar opener. Well, no, but I keep like, you know, like a pair of scissors because of packages that I should be able to open by my hand, but I can't. There's just certain things that you're going to start realizing that you need to keep in the car.
Well, I've got an eyeshadow palette in the car for in case I need to fix my... Never mind. Girly girl.
You know what, bitch? Really? Bitch, please. Seriously.
I know. Oh, hey, good news. Good news. Your challenge has been met. And $35 more. Thank you to an anonymous friend. And thank you to Colin. Thank you, Colin.
Okay. Now, I did say that I was gonna.
So we're down to seven. So we're down to 7:45 if we just take it as is.
Okay. So I did say that if the challenge were met, I would throw in a little something extra. So I'm gonna throw in an extra 50. And if that challenge is, so if the extra 50, if somebody meets my challenge, then I will throw in another 50.
Okay. So that takes us down to actually. Oh my God, $6.95. If somebody else comes up with another 50, that'll get us down to $6.45. And oh, that could get us down to $5.05, which means we wouldn't be facing four digits for Thorn in the Side Thursday. Tracy, you're awesome. Thank you. And
well, I have my moments. You don't tell people.
Nobody's listening. And so, but we are over time, and I got to get out of here because, truth be told, it's 90 degrees in the studio, and it's not good for me to be in 90 degrees for 4 hours at a time.
No.
And it's not a dry. It's not a dry heat.
It's not a dry heat. It's dripping, and I feel the humidity and the grossness all the way here in L.A.
Yeah, it's pretty gross. For no prurient reasons, there is a cold shower in my future.
I'm sorry, that shit was funny.
Well, if I just said I'm going to go take a cold shower, there would have been perverted emails, and we're not going to do that.
No. So anyway, I love you.
Well, I love you. Wait. You got another note from Lady B. This is a correspondence conversation. Lady B said, Tracy, my twin is like that. All us girls were abused by my brothers. Some of us remember, some don't. But music was and always will be my life support. I remember good things because I associate them with songs. My favorite is Jerry Rafferty, Home and Dry. I was 9. Me and twin were in the car with Daddy. It was a beautiful Colorado day. Daddy was a good man. Home and Dry is a good song. I can't live without my music, like LL can't live without his radio. That's why I became a DJ. Music helps me keep good memories alive. P.S. I bet blue eyeshadow's popping on your eyelids, Robin. Rock it well. Fist in the air to Tracy. Black girl forever, Black girl magic forever, yo.
Yo, yo, yo.
Truth be told, Lady B, I learned a little trick. Because my eyes are blue, if I use blue eyeshadow, it kind of diminishes them. So I've been experimenting with like sparkling pinks and violets and purples. I've even got a really sunshiny yellow. It's a lot of fun.
Ooh.
Yeah. I'm having a blast. I've been waiting on this for all my life.
Well, like I said, I'm glad somebody likes to wear makeup. I just think it's just a waste of my time and energy. But I'm glad there's somebody out there that enjoys it. I mean, I do look amazing when I wear it. I do. But
yes,
I,
you do.
I just, it's just too much. It's just too much. But anyway, I love you. Oh my God, the yawning is starting. I am so late. I should have been almost home by now, but whatever was happening in Hollywood, I am now, I should have been on the freeway. I've just dropped off my last kid, so I am now, I'm usually dropping off at like 4:30, and now it's 5:11, so I am so annoyed right now. But anyway, I love you. I talk to you soon. Be good, be well.
Drive carefully, for God's sakes.
Oh, I will. Trust and believe, since I'm driving later than I normally do, there's going to be even more assholes on the freeway. So, yeah, so I'm going to have to be extra, extra, extra careful.
Do please.
Good night.
Good night. Drive carefully. Bye now.
Talk soon.
Indeed. Bye. The one and only Lady B, the lady cab driver. We have not talked like that in a while. And that brings us to the end of the program. And by the way, Lady B, that was a perfect explanation of the way music works in your soul, and very, so very much in mine. Oh, Lady B, I don't know if you've got an iPhone but if you've got Apple Music, anybody who's got Apple Music, this is an experiment. I need some help because I don't know how much of it's the algorithm or just a screw-up, but if you've listened to this, please, because I just want to make sure that I'm not crazier than a sprayed roach at a decon rave. One of my favorite songs from the 90s, from the, you know, mid-ish 90s, is Hey Jealousy by the Gin Blossoms. Something very strange happens when I tell that Australian girl in my phone that I want to play Hey Jealousy. Suffice to say, it doesn't play Hey Jealousy. You know, I say, hey, Australian girl in my phone, play Hey Jealousy by the Gin Blossoms. What comes on isn't Hey Jealousy. It's not the Gin Blossoms. Jesus, it's nowhere near the Gin Blossoms. I first noticed this driving back from Birmingham on September the 2nd, 2020. I had just gotten my phone call from UAB scheduling my surgery. I was just beside myself, and I just wanted to hear some, and that's a heartbroken lyric is what that is. It's a love ballad, too. I guess they all are. But it's so upbeat. You know, it's like The Outfield and Your Love is a creepy fucking lyric, but God almighty, the music. But Hey Jealousy it's a heartbreaking lyric, and the guy's life was heartbreaking. I don't know whether to give it away. Okay, I'm going to give it away. No, I'm not. Yes, I am. I have tried it on multiple platforms with Apple Music, and I've tried it on Wi-Fi, I've tried it on my Verizon wireless internet, and when I say, hey, I can't say her name or she'll start talking to me because she's sitting right here, play Hey Jealousy by the Gin Blossoms, I kid you not. Well, here, wait, let's do this. Let me see. I'm going to turn the volume up, and she'll probably make a liar out of me. But, okay, here we go. Hey, Siri, play Hey Jealousy by the Gin Blossoms.
Now playing Hey Jealousy by Gin Blossoms on Apple Music.
Let's just put it this way. I don't want to live in the universe where that's Hey Jealousy by the Gin Blossoms. Not to say I don't like the music, but it's kind of like when you reach into the refrigerator and you're a heathen and you just want a swig of milk and you grab the buttermilk instead. I love both. But when that buttermilk hits your palate and you expect it to be sweet, sweet milk, your brain explodes. So I'm just curious to know if this happens to anybody else. So write me, let me know. Okay, hold on. Hey, Tracy, still haven't signed off the air. You're on the other phone again.
Oh, I know that. I know. Oh, you're still on the air? I thought you
were yeah. Done. No, I had a little thing for the radio community, for the horn community to sort out. It was a music thing.
Well, speaking of, remember I was like, what the fuck is going on the freeway? Here's another little tidbit where Janice told me why the freeway and everything was so fucked up.
Yeah.
Biden is here in Hollywood, was in Hollywood taping Jimmy Kimmel.
Well, that'll do it.
And just the other day, Kimmel was talking about how the Republicans have lost their fucking minds. Oh my God, everything's gone in this country, and the president has time to go on Jimmy Kimmel. Really? So he's still on the air.
Yeah.
Throw that little tidbit out.
Yeah, so it just went out. Okay, I'll talk to you later.
Okay, bye.
That makes perfectly good sense. So let's get out of here. Thanks for meeting Tracy's challenge. We've got a chance to not have a $1,000 fundraising goal for Friday or for Thursday, thrown inside Thursday, if somebody out there's got another $50. Thank you to our PayPal and Patreon subscribers. Thank you so much to our a la carte contributors. Thanks to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you might so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. I never noticed if Brother Bishop Steve made it into the chat room this evening, but thank you, Brother Bishop Steve, one way or the other. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. Head on .live. Remember, brand new fresh Malloy on the way at 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. The best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is Head on .live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Cold River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. Now a union shop. Please stay safe. Get your second booster. I'll be getting mine on Friday. Wear your mask. Don't touch your face. Wash your hands. Use your hand sanitizer. Maintain your social distance 15 to 20 feet, like Paul from Parts Unknown says. And for God's sakes, if somebody comes towards you babbling and barking and growling and grunting and hooting about these dang smartphones, avoid that Fallon from Texas like the plague, because he is. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later.